Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling arms to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no.
Right step in the wrong world.
And I need
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracian Friends. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on WSLM AM 600. Don't forget that I am still collecting. I'm only collecting now stuff at Mahoning County Republican Headquarters, Fit Family, and IGA. Because I picked up the ones from Ambassador Technologies. I picked up stuff from Charlie Staples. And I want to thank everyone who has sent contributions and the people that have sent the canned goods and all that kind of stuff. I appreciate it. You have no idea how much I appreciate what you guys are doing to make this a success. I want to thank you. I stopped at a man this morning, and he gave me a case of tracks of daily bread.
Wow.
And I stopped by his house this morning and picked him up, and if you got a large loader. And I'm talking, guys, I said clean blankets and non-perishable food items and toiletries and batteries. No clothes. No clothes. Everybody say with me, no clothes. Because the clothes that you guys give me, I appreciate it, but they're going to end up here. I'm going to take them to the mission or somewhere on that order. I do not have the capacity to take clothes and food and all. I have to keep my focus.
The clothes have to be sanitized,
yeah,
and all that other stuff. There's a lot of the bed bug thing. I don't think a lot of people really, the bed bug thing has really hit home with a lot of people yet. But you really have to be careful about fabrics.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm lost. Why won't my? Maybe this is.
Technology's great when it's working. When it's not working, it ain't working.
No, actually, you know, sometimes it has to be you.
Oh, it's operator error this time.
When you have two keyboards and two mouses and three machines, you got to know which one to be messing with when you're trying to get something done. The number is 347-945-5229. Tonight, I'm going to talk about money today. Got a guest coming on today, but I've got to. I didn't bring it up yesterday, and I probably should have brought up Elmo and General Petraeus in the same sentence.
Oh, I understand where you're going with this.
You don't understand.
Yes, I do.
You don't know.
Yes, I do.
This is not a winky problem. The last thing I need to know is Elmo was gay.
The last thing I need to know that Elmo was having a relationship with an underage boy.
Actually, the guy, he recanted. He said he lied.
What, the guy that said that Elmo was doing it, or the guy that was Elmo?
The guy who filed the charges, the Elmo accuser. I mean, how do you jack up Elmo like that? Do you understand you don't mess with Elmo? It's Christmas. How in the world do you jack Elmo up at Christmas? He got a new toy coming out. You can't mess with Elmo. Now you got Elmo, and Elmo's got issues, and what are we going to do with Elmo now?
I am so glad my kids didn't get into that stuff.
And listen to this. And the accuser recants his allegations of having underage sex with the man. Do we understand what you tarnished the face of Elmo?
Not only that, you wrecked a man's life.
I wasn't thinking about the man's life. I was thinking about Elmo. You understand? Elmo.
From what I understand, if the voice of Elmo gets paid anything like Big Bird does, he ain't hurting for cash.
It's not, see, remember, this brother, the man just got a job. He don't own Elmo.
Right.
So he's the voice of Elmo.
But the guy that gets in the Big Bird suit, he don't own Big Bird, gets $385 a year, $385,000 a year for getting in the Big Bird suit. I could do that, too.
Oh, man, I've always wanted to be a mascot. No one has ever let me do that. You have no idea. I could do a mascot. I would have a blast as a mascot.
Well, sure you would. I mean, who wouldn't? You can act all kinds of silly
and no one cares.
Nobody knows who you are.
I don't know why would they not let me be a mascot? I'd have been anybody's mascot. Almost.
Why don't you put in an application to be the horse down at Kentucky Speedway?
No.
They got a horse that walks around.
I can't be a horse. I can't be a horse. That'd be a bit much, don't you think?
Well, I don't know.
Can't be a horse.
Nobody knows it's you.
Yeah, but I can't be a horse. Because I call too many people horses patoots. You have to realize, I call people that. I've called people a horse's patoot. You know, shush. Don't say a word, Sticks. Don't say nothing. What?
Nothing.
You know, it's
we ain't going down that highway.
It's 12 minutes after 12. It's up Wednesday, I think. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's cloudy.
It's a little cold. Yeah, it's cold. I don't think it's cold. I think that because we had such great weather the weekend, our body has just not adjusted to the climate change. You believe in global warming?
I believe that the climate changes. I don't think human activity has anything to do with it.
Why don't you believe in human activity has any, I mean, global warming?
Because it's not logical.
What do you mean it's not logical?
Because when you got swamp gas that produces 4 billion times the methane that all of human activity does, it's got to be just a natural cycle of the Earth. I mean, the Earth, when you got a volcano that blows up and puts more garbage in the air than everything human beings do in the last 10 years, you know, when you got a forest fire that puts more garbage in the air than everything that's going on in, that humankind produces in 2 or 3 years, it's the Earth taking care of the Earth. And human beings can't. We can locally wreck things, but globally I don't think we have much of an impact.
You know what? I'm going to do a little open mic here. We're going to talk about money and taxes and stuff. But for the first few minutes, I'm going to laugh and joke. And I just have some questions. For everyone, have you ever tried to organize your life and found that you threw out more than you should have thrown out?
Well, that's the rule. Keep something in the garage for 20 years, you throw it away, you need it next week.
I don't know. I get about 130 emails a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't stay on top of them because a lot of them are subscriptions. A lot of them, they're like bad magazines.
Right.
And so I'm trying to become more efficient and more organized. And I am. I'm really working on this because I want to be a very, very efficient person when it comes to all that I do. So I sat up the other day, this past Sunday, for hours, cleaning out my email box because I had like 3,000 emails that I couldn't get rid of. And so I started cleaning stuff out, and now I'm trying to find an email for my guest today. What are you laughing at,
it's
Sid?
Gone.
I didn't throw his email out. I don't understand.
To all of us.
You know, that's why I don't clean. That's why. All you efficient people, it's overrated.
You haven't seen my desk at home.
You know,
I'm not efficient either.
I'm trying to do the right thing and it's just not working.
I have days where I feel overwhelmed like I'm drowning in paper.
Well, I feel that way all the time. I mean, I feel that way all the time. That never ends. I just want to know, why is it that when I start throwing things out and trying to become efficient and effective and be this organized person like I see other people, I can't find anything.
But they have personal assistants.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, you run in a high-powered class there, Tracy.
What?
You run with the big dogs.
Ooh, what big dog? My dog's a Jack Russell. What are you talking about? What big dog? She's a little dog. She's got a big heart, though.
Well, but you're a Republican, so everybody you run with is high power and big money.
You're like you.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're rich. That's nothing new.
Rich?
Yes. You know, you're very, very rich. I know you are.
I am. I got wonderful children. I've got a wonderful wife.
Oh,
here
you go.
I got a warm house.
Okay.
So tell us about The Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh, you got to read the book. The Richest Man in Babylon is a book that I would recommend that everyone pick up. It talks about how you can, it's not how much money you make, but it's what you do with the money that you do make. And it gives you a frame of thought so that you can shape your mindset for financial independence of the system. And it's something that I think that, you know, you were talking about.
Financial Peace, Dave Ramsey.
Yes, Dave Ramsey. There are a lot of people trying to find this. But I'm finding that we're going to really, we need to understand money. We need to understand, today we're going to talk about unemployment numbers. We're going to talk about, people paint people in a different light than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the people telling me that I lost because Mitt Romney lost. Well, how did I lose? If I'm an American and you said that you made the right choice,
I agree.
I mean, you got to understand, you know, how did I lose if you said you had the right choice and you won, and we're all Americans?
I I agree. If we were mistaken in our beliefs and President Obama is going to make the country a better place, a more prosperous country, a safer country, then we all won, and we were mistaken. And if in 4 years that plays out, I will admit that I was wrong. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be admitting I'm wrong, because
don't beat
the stock market keeps sliding, gold keeps going up.
Yeah.
Rich people are divesting themselves from their assets and they're going liquid. So, you know, you tell me.
I don't know. I don't know if President Obama really understands that.
He doesn't. He doesn't understand the psychology. He's a Keynesian economist.
What is Keynesian?
There are two basic economic theories that are taught in college. One is Keynes, John Maynard Keynes. That's where the prime the pup thing from FDR came from. John Maynard Keynes was a Fabian socialist, trained at the British Economic School or whatever it is in London. And he believed that in economic downturn, the government needed to spend huge amounts of money and the government needed to control the economy. The other major thought is called the Austrian thought, and one of the primary writers of that was Friedrich Hayek.
Okay.
Friedrich Hayek said that the government needs to keep their fingers out and that the free market will maintain its own balances because people, individuals, make better choices what to do with their resources than the government does by taking resources from people and allocating them. And it's two different ways of looking at things.
Well, I am, you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the demonization of wealth. I'm looking at the redistribution of, or the mindset, should I say, of wealth. I'm looking at, you know, I talked to a young lady yesterday, and she said, well, Tracy, why are you a Republican? And she said, you know, I don't understand. And I'm like, well, what don't you understand about this? And, you know, we look at these issues, and it's like we should have opposing opinions on how we get to somewhere, as long as we get to the same expected end.
Well, and I think that's the big split in our country right now. I think the big split is you've got a whole group of people who want to return to the original founding documents and the original pre-1900, the way we did economics and the way we did helping people and the way we ran things. And then you've got a group that wants to make us European-style socialists. And it's two different destinations. That's why there's such a divide. You don't have two different groups wanting to go the same way, and they just haven't figured out the same way to get there.
Because I'm looking at this, and Republicans are not trying to make the rich richer. They're trying to make sure everyone has access to becoming rich.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that we have created an economic system where if you are disciplined, the majority, the vast majority, I would say 90% of the people in this country, under our system, if you manage your money properly and if you are disciplined, can retire with $1 million very easily.
But even, and let me say this, most people are not disciplined, and most people,
they're not educated either.
They're not educated, they're not disciplined, but they're also, most people make mistakes early on in life. When Herman Cain said the reason why people are poor is because of the decisions that they make, and they demonize him for saying that, he didn't lie. You know, if you sacrifice while you're in school, you'll go to college on a scholarship.
Right.
If you put your nose to the grind and don't party while in college, you'll graduate
with a good job.
Maybe not a good job. You'll graduate with a degree and you will graduate on time, prepared for your future.
Right.
If you make good decisions, but most of us don't make good decisions, even when we have lump sums of money.
People make huge decisions, bad decisions, when they get large sums of money.
But we don't know. And again, it comes in with knowing how to manage it, but you make mistakes. The problem with America is, I look at what we're talking about, General Petraeus.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still talking about him? He said he did it. He quit his job. I don't believe he quit his job because he did it, But nevertheless, why are we still talking about him and his winky?
I have no idea about that part of it. I want to know what he knows about Benghazi.
Again, why are we talking about his winky and not Benghazi? I mean,
because the media, and we're being driven that way. It's more lemmings. It's stopping people from thinking.
So why would we do that? When we talk about money, when we talk about money management, when we talk about unemployment, unemployment is, you know, we don't understand the numbers.
But we don't want to talk about the real causes of unemployment. That's another thing, too. I got into a discussion on Facebook this morning about minimum wage again. And people don't understand an overly high minimum wage keeps teenagers out of work.
But it keeps more than teenagers out of work. It keeps people out of work.
Right, but especially the unskilled. It removes the bottom. For every time you raise the minimum wage, it jerks the bottom rung on the ladder of success one after another until you got to be 10 foot tall to grab that first rung.
But I want to go, since you brought up minimum wage, and I want to slow it down because it's only 20 minutes after 12, 25 minutes after 12. Think about this. The state of Ohio, we put unemployment based upon inflation inside of our Constitution.
That was a stupid maneuver.
You know,
and all you people that voted for it, I'm going to tell you, it was a stupid maneuver.
No, it wasn't a stupid maneuver. It was a manipulated maneuver.
Yes, it was.
And the people, because of their ignorance.
Well, they didn't know it was there.
They knew it was there. They didn't know what it meant. You got to understand, they knew it was there. They didn't know what it meant.
No.
Because if you come to me and I don't have any money, and I don't have a skill, and I'm making $7 an hour, and I'm still working two jobs trying to make ends meet. If you come to me and say, we're going to vote on your raise, I'm going to say yes. I don't understand. I don't understand market measures. I don't understand inflation. I don't understand that every time you go up 30 cents on minimum wage, cheese goes up a dollar at McDonald's.
That part of it people understood, but there's a lot of people that voted for that didn't realize that we were tying our minimum wage to the inflation rate.
But
they
Tracy,
thought it was a one-time raise.
Hold on, Stanley.
Go ahead.
Good.
Yeah.
No.
They didn't understand it was a one. They thought, the people that I talked to thought that was a one-time shot, and they didn't realize that it was tied to the consumer price index, and every year it would go up. I mean, I can tell you right now, my mother has worked at McDonald's and Carrollton's almost since it opened. She's not getting any raises. They came to them this year and said, the only people that are getting raises are the new hires and the people that are currently on minimum wage.
And that's what I mean. And we don't understand that minimum wage can go up past $20 an hour based on inflation.
Oh, if we get this hyperinflation that's coming, you could see minimum wage at $1,000 an hour.
So what is fiscal cliff going to, what's that going to do to inflation? You have to understand, they're not going to be able to manipulate inflation as they are right now.
No.
So, go ahead, Stanley.
The bigger thing, and I have to say I agree to many things that you're saying.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute, Stanley. Hold up. Hold on, Stanley. Wait a minute.
Stanley. I'm clutching my chest.
This is not normal.
Stanley, we've been doing this for all week long. Pretty soon they're going to talk about us.
The biggest thing is I don't understand why we don't teach all those things in school. That's the biggest thing.
Because we don't want people to know.
Yes, we need to know. That should be a thing that we should know about money and relationship. Those two things should be a subject that we should learn from primary all the way to college.
I don't want you to know
everything. Everything
Stanley,
about inflation.
We don't want you to know. Stanley, this is where America becomes very, very disingenuous. We don't want you to know about money and making your money grow, because if you make your money grow, that means you won't be dependent on the system. And I saw a commercial this morning on MSNBC, and it was quoted this way: you need the government to help you through tough times.
Well, it basically, schools is teaching people how to become employees instead of being entrepreneurs. You're learning how to you're not learning in school how to basically go get a fish and create money and things like that. You're learning basically to work for somebody for the rest of your life and depend on that person. The whole school, if you're talking about money, the whole system has to change.
They don't want it to change. They don't want us to know. They don't want us.
I'm sure you realize, Stanley, it didn't used to be this way. It wasn't this way until the progressives took over the government.
No, it was this way for a long time. It was this way.
Yes,
for,
it was the progressive. John Dewey, and his line of education, funded by the Fords and the Rockefellers, wanted to create a worker class that was very technically adept, but very financially inept, so that they could keep them in debt and keep them showing up for work every day.
But let me say this. When we say progressive, when we say progressive, progressive is a very clever word. Just like conservatism is a very clever word. What progressive means and what progressive is two different definitions. And what conservatism used to be and what conservatism is today is two different definitions. And we need to understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
When I speak of progressives, I speak of the Woodrow Wilsons and the early 20th century progressives. And when they got a hold, everything changed. Because we went from a country of individuals to a country of a collective.
But
they changed the entire outlook.
But six, when I go to conservative, I could tell you the whole country saved when corporation was accepted, and we went from a country that used to have a loyalty between employees and employers, because basically you could stay 20 years in a company if you worked your butt off, to greed, where employers or bosses, CEOs, are having so much money compared to the lowest people that there's so much money that they have compared to an employee that's working his butt off that we lost it.
I have to disagree with you, Stanley, because what percentage higher did Andrew Carnegie have than the guy that was working on a blast furnace?
Not that part. I'm talking after that. I'm saying there used to be a loyalty between employers and everything. There used to be a
no,
philosophy.
There wasn't.
No, there wasn't.
No, there wasn't. That's why the unions came into place. But let me throw this into the mix for just a moment. What has happened is we do not pay attention to the levels of wealth. When we look at wealth, we look at Wall Street, and we look at Wall Street CEOs who are employees of the shareholders. And when they have these contracts, and they call them golden parachutes. So no matter when the company goes down, they still jump out. They jump out of the building and they still land on their feet while everybody else sinks. That's a problem because their progress should be tied to, or their pay should be tied to the progress of the company. So they shouldn't, and we should not allow them to have golden parachutes. But the companies that are getting most hurt is the small business of the person who starts, the entrepreneur who starts from scratch and grows up. Those really, really are the ones that we really need to go after. And then if we really want to be honest about what's going on with taxes and what's going on with that kind of thing, we need to look at the tax code. When you have 75,000 pages of tax code, and when we look at tax code, where General Electric did not pay taxes.
Exactly. And that's where people are very mad, Tracy, because
they're Democrats.
My brother is a CPA, so he knows those things. And he told me, since you're incorporated now, Stanley, I could show you the true thing that you won't be paid. And I was freaking out when he showed me that. I was like, really? You're not going to pay for this. You're not going to pay for that. You're not going to pay for that. I'm like, really?
So what I'm saying to you, so what I'm saying to you is, what's happening is the people that need to have the tax cuts or the tax help, they're not getting it. The small business like me, you know, when I go to do my taxes, I can't afford all the taxes that I have to pay, and they come after me like I'm a big business. But you got these companies where they have the tax attorneys and they don't owe anything at the end of the day, and they make billions of dollars a year.
And that's what Chicago keeps talking about. When the president says he's going to raise taxes on millionaires and billionaires, he's not going to raise them on Warren Buffett. He's going to raise them on Mike Conti that owns Mack Trailer down there. It's got 1,500 or 2,000 employees.
Yeah.
That's who's going to get stuck.
And that's not, and for a small, and he is considered a small business.
Right.
He's not considered a major business.
Right. That's the people that's going to get hung. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of small businessmen of that size with 1,000 or 1,500 employees. If you mess with them too much, they're going to go fishing.
And not only that, you also have to look at, you know, if you look at 2,000 employees, that seems like a lot. But they don't bail out the small business when they don't give them any assistance. They don't give them any help. They don't give them any credit relief. They don't give them tax relief. They don't give you anything in small business. What they do is they go and help General Motors out.
In fact, the city of Alliance, Ohio, gave Mike Connie and his wife a loan through the city. They signed for it personally, and they paid back every penny.
And a lot of times,
and General Motors ain't going to do that.
No.
General Motors will not take personal responsibility for nothing. It's your small business people like that that are going to build your communities.
841, your mic is on. I'm sorry, 814.
Oh, hi, guys.
How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing today, Tracy?
Good.
I wanted to get your guys' opinion on these states with their succession petitions and things like that. Well, the citizens.
I don't think it's real.
I think if you want to give the government or the White House your name and tell them you want to secede, you're not wrapped too tight. Because even if I would want to secede, which I don't, I certainly wouldn't be emailing my name and zip code to the White House.
Well, see, this is the thing. I kind of looked into it, and I think there might be actually an issue with it because. If you here's a petition right here, all right? It says, for all citizens in their respective states signing any petition with the intent of withdrawing from the United States, let me see here, with their signature being recognized and by said signature as a recession from the of U.S. citizenship, hence to be required on any form that asks, have you ever renounced your citizenship, must check the yes box on such forms. I know what they're talking about. Well, and then it gives you a definition. So is that basically these people signing these petitions, are they basically renouncing their citizenship?
No.
They're trying to do a peaceable declaration of independence, and it's not going to work.
It ain't going to happen.
And Antonin Scalia already said that you, once you're in the Union, you ain't getting out.
It's not going to happen. We're not going to separate the United States because some people got mad because of
put it this way, Stanley. We're not going to separate the United States peaceably. I'm not saying that someday things could get so intolerable that people in Texas or people in Wyoming or people in Montana don't pick up arms and say we're out of here.
It's going to happen over just an election.
Well, this is not over an election.
No.
Stanley, hold on. Listen. I want everyone to understand. There are a lot of people. There is prejudice. Ignorance, racism in both sides of the party. They're independents, they're Republicans, and they're Democrats. Don't let them get you fooled. And there's a lot of people that despise colored people. And when I say colored people, I'm talking about all people of color, but will still vote for Barack Obama. So you have to understand that. You have sexist people. You have people that are ignorant. The issue with what's going on is not about having a black president. Now, are there some ignorant people out there? Absolutely. But when they start talking about succession from the Union and all this other stuff, a lot of it has absolutely nothing to do with the color of the man's skin. It really has to do with the progression of his policy. The policies that he is going to expound on is going to make us into a European style of government, which is totally different. It is more of a dependence upon government instead of freedom from government.
For example, Stanley, I can see the state of Wyoming, having been told by the EPA that they can no longer mine the coal that's under their land, picking up arms and saying, yes, we're going to mine this coal, and no, you're not going to tell us we can't, and we are going to ship it to China if you don't want to use it in the United States. I can see the people of West Virginia doing that. I can see the people of Texas, if they say we can't pump the oil out of the ground, saying, we got ports here, we are going to pump this oil, and we are going to sell it. and you can go straight to you know where.
Yeah, but
I can see those things happening.
But if you start doing that, you're dividing the nation. Basically, you're not respecting the election.
You're missing the point.
Hold on.
You're not listening, Stanley.
Either Obama.
Stanley, you're not listening. You're not listening. You have to understand that every state is an independent corporation in itself.
10th Amendment.
It is separate and it is collectively equal. That's why you could have a state like you could have laws in the state of Ohio be different than the laws in the state of New York. Bloomberg can make you all not drink soda pop and all that kind of stuff. We can drink soda pop out of a keg if we choose to.
I know it's a different. Every state is separated but equal. I know that.
What I'm saying is the election was not, and I keep telling people this, and you guys will not hear me. The election was not. Is really not about personalities.
No.
It's about platforms and direction. The question is, if you get enough signatures and you put it on the ballot and they decide to secede from the union, they can. And there's absolutely nothing that the federal government can do about it.
Stanley, if the federal government's policies start starving people in a state, you don't think that they are going to pick up arms and fight
that's
back?
If it starts starving people.
But it's already doing it in West Virginia.
Hold on, Stanley. 814, since you started this mess, I'm going to blame you.
Well,
go ahead.
The thing is they do ask you this question. If you go to buy a firearm, there's a box there. And it specifically asked you, have you ever renounced your U.S. citizenship? Now, these petitions are being done on a website where it's not the state doing it, it's the individuals doing it. So at that moment that they sign that petition, okay, wanting to, be separate from the U.S., isn't that a form of renouncing your citizenship?
No.
How is it not? You're saying
ahead,
I do not want to be part of this country anymore.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
No, but what you are saying is, now that is a petition too. If you actually secede from the union, then you are renouncing your citizenship. It's like bringing a suit against someone. You're bringing suit. You haven't won the suit. You're just bringing it. It's a legal action. That's all it is. You're innocent until proven guilty.
Right, but doing that is a voluntary action, by definition.
It is, but you're still not. You're not giving. You're not accepted. I can go to Europe and say I want to be. I want to be a citizen of Europe, but unless they accept me. And I become a European citizen, I'm still a citizen of the United States of America.
Yeah, I think that question of have you renounced your citizenship would probably be under a situation where you have dual citizenship. And like
right.
Zuckerberg's buddy, the guy that was in with Zuckerberg that renounced his citizenship to avoid the taxes here 6 months ago or so.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he went to Singapore or someplace in Asia and said, I don't want to be a U.S. citizen anymore. Here's my exit money. Leave me alone. I'm going to keep the rest of it.
That didn't work out very well, did it?
I don't know.
And most people that cry wolf don't usually bite. Hold on just a second, guys. I got to take a break, but I do want to pick up one more call. Hey, South Carolina, it's good to see you.
Yeah, I'm here. I've been out doing Toys for Tots duties, and I'll tell you about that later.
Well, listen, let me take a break, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions.
Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Youngstown State University's Ward Beecher Hall was evacuated yesterday afternoon because of a chemical spill. Officials emptied the building as a precaution. Classes for the evening session were canceled. Someone spilled hydrochloric acid and phosphoric acid on the fifth floor. About a gallon of the materials was spilled. A man from Columbiana County pleaded not guilty yesterday for a hit-and-run accident that killed a 9-year-old girl. 27-year-old Todd Roberts of Washingtonville entered his plea yesterday. He surrendered Friday to officials following the accident that took the life of Olivia Thompson of Salem. And Republican Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor says the new federal health care law is flawed, but the state is moving forward with the overhaul. States face a Friday deadline to let federal officials know if they will be setting up new health insurance markets under the law. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Your body grows bigger.
Your mind's a flower.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
It's Schoolhouse Rocky, the tip of the block of your favorite
Now let's meet Taxman Max.
Welcome to the new variety, sit and relax. I'm that song and dance phenomenon, Max. Let me sing for you, do my thing for you, till they give me the axe. Here's a song I'm doing, gonna bill you in on tax. Taxes, that familiar melody, simple and true. Hum it if you've earned a dollar or two. Bucks are being spent by the government for whatever they do. Anyone who earns a living gives more than a few. So our schools can be their best. So our roads will have no cracks. Someone fix those train tracks. I hear you calling Uncle and I'm paying my tax. Oh, these are my girls. Hello, girls.
Hello, Max. Now, that's it. There are many different ways that we pay what we owe.
Ladies, if you'll form a lovely tableau.
Income, property, sales, utility.
Candy bars at my show.
$0.05
And that's not all you know. Out of almost every dollar a person can make, city, state, and federal government take. What they think is fair, you give in your share. Now and then there's a break. Max is talking taxes. Hey, have I kept you awake?
For the things your town may need. For the things the country lacks. All good things take free tax.
We hear you calling, Uncle, and we're paying our tax.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. Just throw that in there. I don't see Schoolhouse Rock on anymore.
No, and it's a shame, too, because they had some really good ones.
I mean, they made you learn some things you may not have learned.
You know, I'm only a bill, and I'm waiting here on Capitol Hill. I mean, do you remember that?
Oh, I can still sing it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I learned.
Yeah.
I am.
Junction, what's your function?
That's how I learned my English. That's why I don't speak. Yep. That's why I don't speak any Ebonics.
But that's when
you heard that, didn't
Tracy
you?
Got me.
Huh?
Listen.
What?
You know, I was in a little shop. I was doing my little thing. I'm the coordinator for Toys for Tots in this area, and I was picking up a box at one of the little local businesses. And the lady was in there talking to somebody about what's getting ready to happen. She has told everybody that she's, number one, she's cutting staff. Number two, she's cutting hours. Her and her husband will be working more hours. And I asked her, you know, I just asked her, I said, well, what's going to happen with your taxes? She let me know that they're going to be bumped probably, you know, 3%. On the income tax side, but if things go the way she thinks they're going to go, it's also going to cost her on the Social Security side and on Medicare, and she is really considering closing up shop and going to work for somebody else. She just can't afford it. She can't afford to stay in business. She's working with her CPA to try and figure out how she can do it without killing herself.
That's because we are not educating the public on what in the world is going on. And instead of, I mean, it does not take a rocket scientist to realize that we are spending more than we're taking in, and we need to collect more revenue.
It
don't take a whole lot to figure that out.
I heard this morning Obamacare alone is going to increase the cost of an employee if they cancel their health insurance and pay the fine. His employer is going to cost 90 cents an hour to pay the fine instead of providing health insurance. Or if they do provide the health insurance that's going to be required, it's going to increase it $1.35 an hour.
I put something on my Facebook page, and it was about Papa John's saying that they're going to have to cut back. And they were saying, well, if you quit advertising. I'm serious. Well, if you quit advertising and put that money behind your employees, then you won't have a problem. Well,
if you quit advertising, you don't have any business.
You don't sell pizzas if you quit advertising, right?
I mean, no, hold on. Then Tracy and Friends is going to have a problem.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And Stanley, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy, I want to ask you a question. I'm hearing you that you're saying Obamacare is going to be so bad for businesses. And let's say you're saying, how come economists, the other side, are saying, no, it's not? One of
Who's
the
saying that?
Lying.
Who's saying it's not?
I can give you the list of economists that said Obamacare is the best.
Because let me guess, Paul Krugman? Paul Krugman's one of them, right?
Yeah, Paul Krugman, one of them.
Yeah, Paul Krugman is a Keynesian. He's studied Fabian socialism. That's why. Because
no,
he doesn't live in the real world.
And let me say this, Stanley, it will help. Listen, I'm not going to say it will not help some people. I am not going to tell you that it will not help some people. But what I'm saying is, but the help the people that are going to get is going to hurt a whole lot more.
It's going to cost the average family $3,500 a year. And I'm looking at our open enrollment, my wife and I, and I'm looking what it's going to do to us. And before 2014, when it really kicks in, it's going to cost us next year somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,200.
But see, Republicans need to take some – we need to take some responsibility for what we have. We need to be honest about this. Republicans do not –
Both people are not honest. I'm sorry. Just said the opponent of –
You're breaking up really badly.
Stanley,
you got to slow down, dude.
Stanley, I can't hear you. Honey, listen. You're breaking up. Your mic is breaking up. Do me a favor. Find out what it is.
Okay.
I have, you know, they need to deal with some people issues. And that's something that Republicans don't necessarily deal with.
No, Republicans, by and large, are engineers.
They might be engineers.
They think like engineers, I should say.
They think like engineers, but they need to deal with some issues that deal with people. And we need to be honest about that.
Well, and a lot of this healthcare thing goes back to education, because people in the past, and they didn't know these things existed. People without insurance could have gotten health savings accounts with high deductible policies, and they're really cheap.
But you have to have the money to have a savings account. If you've made some bad choices in your past, then you're not making an income. If I have a child, and I'm only making $20,000 a year, and I'm talking about just one child, and I don't have a great education, I'm struggling just to make ends meet, let alone deal with health care.
But the thing is, the way the law was written, even if you just put $1 a month in that health savings account, it still would have qualified you for the catastrophic care policy that only cost $15 or $16
a month. Can I say this to you?
So for $20 a month, you could have had $20 a month, you could have had catastrophic care policy.
Six, listen to what I'm saying. If I don't have $20 a month, we have to look at where people are, and don't say, and I'm talking about I don't smoke, I don't drink.
I know.
If I don't have, and all I'm trying to do is put gas in my tank, I got a high fuel car because I've got an old car. It's not fuel efficient. I work in Warren. I make minimum wage. I'm trying to see about my kids. And $20 is quite a bit for me to put aside. Now, let me also say this. We have to understand that people are struggling because, see, the problem is not going to the hospital. The problem is the maintenance of going. See, when I catch a cold, what do I do? See, I can't go to the doctor.
Why can't you? He'll take cash.
Not if I don't have it. See, we don't take care of the maintenance problem. See, when I need to go and see, we're not talking about. See, if I drop dead, you'll take me to the hospital, and the hospital will fix me. But see, my medication, because I get diagnosed with something. Because remember, I still got to have car insurance. I have other bills. I got gas, lights, rent. I got all those bills that everybody else has. And I'm probably not living in a house that is highly insulated. So I got plastic up against the windows, but the plastic costs money. The tape for the plastic costs money. All this adds up. And what's happening is we had people, when you have a toothache and you can't go to the dentist because you don't have the money, and you try to fix your tooth with oral gel, it's a bad feeling.
But how much of that is just lack of education and lack of understanding what services
are?
Tracy,
there
I hear what you're saying.
There are no
Tracy,
services.
Tracy, I hear what you're saying.
There are
but
no
I told you. Yeah. I told you, I drove from Carrollton, Ohio to Canton, Ohio for $6 an hour.
What year was that?
1986.
Right now, try $7.30 an hour taking care of one child and being a woman.
But if you're making $7.30 an hour, you're also getting public assistance.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No, you're not. You only get it for 5 years.
Cash assistance.
You don't get cash assistance. That's a myth. You might get some food stamps, but there is no cash assistance for people. You might get.
Then how am I? No, I got tenants that are getting cash assistance.
Because they probably know how to work the system.
Well.
But most people that need it don't know how to work it because, remember, I said I'm making $20,000 a year, which is above the poverty threshold for two people. See, that poverty threshold is a lie.
But if you're earning $20,000, you're only paying taxes on your taxable income's only $12,000.
It doesn't matter what you
and if your taxable income's $12,000, you're getting $6,000 or $7,000 in earned income credit back.
Again, okay, you got $27,000. I got child care. You've got bills. People have gas bills that are $400 a month. And that's just to heat the house. And more how
but if you're on if you're making minimum wage, Tracy, you're getting heap and pip.
Maybe, maybe not.
If you apply for it, you're going to get it.
Maybe, maybe not. But it still does not negate the fact we're talking about health care. What happens when I'm diabetic? I don't get that free. I don't go to the doctor for free. I can't go even get diagnosed. I don't even go see an OBGYN. I don't get medical for free.
Tracy, if you're in that if you're in there with no health insurance right now, you're getting Medicaid.
No, you're not. Your kids may be, but you're not. Because you don't meet the poverty threshold. Poverty threshold is something like $17,000 or $11,000 for two people.
No.
Oh, okay, 17. It's something stupid like that. Go ahead, 438. Your mic is on.
Hello? Hello?
South Carolina?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I got a 438 on there.
Hello.
Yeah, your mic is on.
Yes, Tracy, it's Stanley. How are you?
Hey, Stanley.
Yes, yes. And I'm so happy that you're saying that to Six, because Six thinks that everything that we're saying as progressive, like you said, liberal, that those problems are not happening. Like she said, we're conservative, we're engineer. We don't care. Okay, you're engineer, but what about the healthcare issue and things like that? And you just said to Six things that a lot of people are going through. A lot of people are going through. And even if you do get that operation, how am I going to pay that $150,000?
You don't have
if I don't
to.
Have
you're bankruptcy.
No, come on, Six. Six, do you know what happens when you file bankruptcy?
You can't.
Do you know what happens when you
file bankruptcy? Yes, you can file bankruptcy on Dr. Bill.
Do you know what happens when you file bankruptcy on Dr. Bill?
Exactly.
Do you understand
when you have
liens and mortgages?
Credit.
Do you understand
what
happens?
You don't have credit for 8 years.
That's not true.
It is true.
That is not true.
What? You don't have credit? It is true.
What's the difference between filing bankruptcy on doctor bills and filing bankruptcy on everything else? Because I know people that file bankruptcy, and 2 weeks later, they got a credit card.
I don't know how they do it, but it's against the law that you don't. If you declare bankruptcy, go to your bankruptcy law. And they definitely, you think everybody would declare bankruptcy in that case?
You got to understand, oh, it sounds easy, and they make it sound, but I mean, seriously.
I deal with these people every day. I see what they're doing.
You see people that scam the system every day.
Exactly. You don't say the real thing. Go get the bankruptcy law. Trust me, there's a consequence.
Hold on, Stanley. You see people that scam the system every day. I got to take a break. You don't see people who are trying to do the right thing and trying to do it the right way and still can't get a hand up. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem in a nutshell. We see people, there are people that can work the system until the system is unworkable, and they need to go get a job. But there is a group of people out there who don't know how to work the system, can't get on the system, and can't get anything for it. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
If you've been...
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, six. You see? Six, I'm telling you. There's so many things you're saying that you're saying, oh, bankruptcy has no consequence. Yes, it does. Because if it didn't have any consequence, a lot of people would declare bankruptcy. Trust me, if you declare bankruptcy, go to your credit people. It has big consequences.
Hey, it has no consequence on medical bills, that's clear. It has no consequence on the medical bills. It really does.
Exactly. So declare bankruptcy is the same thing like college. If you declare bankruptcy and you say, oh, I don't want to pay my data college, you still have to pay the college debt. You can't declare bankruptcy with that. Even if you declare bankruptcy, you still got to pay that $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 for college. That stays with you.
College is different, Lee.
So that's the problem with the healthcare. I'm here conservative saying, go to the hospital. Hello. That's the whole problem with the healthcare. How the hell am I going to pay $250,000, $100,000, things like that? Where am I going to get the money? Tell me.
Well, I just think a lot of people are being misled on a lot of things, your family. You know.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. But don't say that we have the best health care, there's no issue, and oh my God, you just go to the hospital and everybody's gonna fix you. And I'm hearing things, I'm like, no, that's not true. That's not true.
You can't go to you go to the hospital and you're in need of assistance. Yes, they have to do the work on you. They can't turn you away. What kind of
medicine are you going to get if you don't have health insurance? The good health insurance.
You'll get your care, your catastrophic care. They will treat
you. But they won't be the best. But will it be the best?
Well, I don't care if you have regular health care and health insurance. It may not be the best. It'll be what the doctor can provide. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't care if you're a millionaire or you know, someone who doesn't have any money. You know, you're only going to get what the doctor can provide. Plain and simple. So, that's pretty much it.
And that's why, you know, when I hear, socialism and things like that, I'm sorry to say, at least those other countries made a choice that they say, we're not going to take advantage of people who are sick. And that's the choice they did. I'm surprised. We're supposed to be the greatest nation in the world, and we can't even deal with that? We'd rather be selfish.
Here's the thing, Stanley. How old are you? Because I don't think you've
35.
Lived on about. I don't think you've lived alone and had enough experiences to know about what goes on in other countries. I mean, have you been to another country?
Wait a minute. I've been to other places, and I know how they are in healthcare. I've been to Canada.
No. Have you been to places, on the African continent? Have you been to Europe? Have you been to South America?
Yes,
see what they've gone through?
I told you. I went to Canada. I went to France. I went to Germany. I went to see how it works.
And actually stay in family.
What?
I'm not talking about just for a visit. I'm talking about going there for a certain period of time.
Yeah, I said a month or two in Canada, a month or two in France, a month or two in London to see how it was and everything.
Yeah.
Their health care was a lot better compared to us.
Just long enough to see what it's like, right? But not long enough to actually experience it. You're not a citizen there, so you don't get to experience the real thing, not unless you've been there for an extended period of time. Really, trust me on that.
Do you know in France that they have a little thing, you call it a little telephone, and a doctor comes over to your place? If you have a problem?
Yeah, hey, Stanley, in France, guess what? All the doctors are employed by the state. You don't have a choice.
Keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229. 330-781-9600 or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. I am here with Six. Today's Wednesday, and today we're talking about money, and we're talking about taxes, and, you know, Six is here. And, you know, we always talk about money when Six is around because Six has a lot of money. But I was talking about, you know, people in poverty, and we're talking about health care, and I was saying that Republicans don't do anything to deal with people. And I get in trouble when I say that, and so don't think that I say it on the radio and don't say it out loud, because I say it out loud. I am who I am. And I say that we don't deal with people issues, and I don't believe we do, because if we ought to deal with – some things take common sense. I need to be able to go to the doctor when I'm sick. And let me give you – and computer guy, I thank you so much for this. He had talked to a doctor, and let's talk about what you pay when you go to the doctor. When I go to my doctor, it costs me at least anywhere from $75 to $150 when I have a cold because I'm uninsured. The same doctor's office visit costs Medicaid or Medicare $23. Or, and the insurance company also, they may cost $32. They have what they call a negotiated rate.
Right.
Why would you give the insurance company and the federal government a negotiated rate when I'm coming in uninsured, don't have any money, all I need for you to do is shake my hand and write me a script, and I got to pay cash for the script prescription also? Why not give me a negotiated rate also?
Why make it illegal for your church to put a doctor on retainer and pay for it out of the offering?
Hear me what I'm saying. Explain all that to me. And see, that's where my
I read years ago. I read a book called Libertarianism, a Primer, and it talked about before we had health insurance companies, prior to World War II, the majority of people in the United States belonged to some form or another of a mutual aid society, either their church or their lodge or the Grange or something, and their dues that they paid into there kept doctors on retainer, so as long as you belonged, were in a member in good standing with that organization, you could go see the doctor that was put on retainer by your organization. The problem is, under current insurance law, that is illegal. So your church cannot put a doctor on retainer, or a doctor that goes to your church can't say, well, I'll treat everybody in this church at a reduced rate because they're members of my church, because that's discrimination.
See, are you following where I'm coming from, Stitcher?
Yeah, the government screwed up.
No. See, this is what I'm saying.
Regulations.
Again, this is what I'm saying. People, so Republicans don't deal with the issue, just like Democrats don't deal with the issue.
But the way the Republicans try to deal with it is painted as cruel. It's not cruel.
No, Republicans don't deal with that. We keep on talking about tax cuts. I'm not going to let us off the hook. When we are in power,
just wait until January 1st. You want to see tax increases?
They're not going to do it. Who's that? Who said? Was that 302? Is that you?
Oh yes, I'm sorry.
Your mic is on.
How are you? I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Well, I just wanted to comment about health care before you guys got off. I was in Europe, and I got sick, and I went to the doctor, and. It was fun. I was happy with their quality of care. They have a very different philosophy to some degree. And let me say, if you speak to most Europeans, I went to a German doctor, to at least three of them. And because they didn't accept my American insurance, I did have to pay out of cost. My cost was a lot cheaper. And I had to go to the ear, eyes, nose, and throat doctor because I couldn't fly and my ears were blocked. And let me say this to you. The way I was charged, it was €70. I paid out of pocket. I had my ears checked with, you know, different equipment that would have cost. But what I'm trying to say, the quality of care was excellent. And they really do have a different philosophy of letting you heal and your body heal naturally before shoving you out of the door. And it's very different than the U.S.
So my question to you is that what you want here?
I don't know. Let me answer that question before you because I'm going to answer it honestly. I don't think we'll ever get anything like what they have over there because the system is our system is too different. Our philosophies are too different. And you would almost have to change the school of thought. It will never be that. It could never be that. And
exactly.
if you speak, and I'm going to let me say it, and it's too bad. We probably were closer to it in the 70s than what we are to it today. But it's not. It is what it is. But let me also add, I have a friend who is an American, and she's married to a French gentleman. And she was talking about when her father-in-law got cancer.
Uh-huh.
And she said to me, you know, I'm American, I came from a different, I just never saw the type of care and quality. It just would have never happened. She said someone came by the house, picked him up, took him to his chemo. She said the stress level was very different in terms of our care. She said, because I didn't have to worry about him. And she said, and the stress and the pressure was taken because it was all taken care of. She said, but when I tried to explain that to my family, I couldn't. I couldn't express the sense of relief that I had. I'm speaking for her now. But that's what she said. That was just a couple of years ago. And she's been in Europe probably a long time.
And how long ago were you in Europe that you had your experience?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time in Europe with the United States Navy, and the experience that we had, one of my compatriots had, was completely opposite of what you did. He developed a sinus infection, an ear infection in England, and he was admitted to Watford General Hospital. And he said it was so bad. He said, if you got to put me on a boat to get me back to the United States, put me on a boat. Get me out of this joint.
Not only that,
let me say it was so affordable out of pocket, I went to three just to double check.
But let me say this. Hold on. Let me say this. An ear infection, you know, minor difficulties are one thing. When it comes to progressive medicine, it's totally different.
I don't know if I would say that.
Hold on. No, I can say that because if you notice, people with a lot of wealth, they don't get surgery. They don't go
they come
there.
To the United States.
They come here to get their
not
heart
always.
Trans-
no, they don't. Not always. Because a lot of them are going to Thailand.
Let me finish. A lot of them come here because of the technology. When you look at liposuction surgery, they come here because of the medical technology that we have here in the United States of America, and because a lot of it has to do with the regulation that we have on top of it. They come here. That's why you have Cleveland Clinic, John Hopkins, and some of
Mayo.
The you've got the Mayo Clinic, and you've got University of Michigan. You've got some of the finest research hospitals in the world here in the United States, and you as a citizen can go to most of these hospitals when you need to.
And not only that, did you notice just 2 days ago the physicians in Paris were marching in protest because they were going to cut their reimbursements?
Well, AMA does, you know, changes here in this country too. That has nothing to do with the quality of care that you get.
Yes, it does, because if you're not
one at a time.
Love Cleveland Clinic. Hold on. Let me make this point. Just because I don't agree with you, you can't debate with my personal experience. I'm not going to debate it.
Hold on.
Wait. Let me say that. I'm not going to debate with the experience and the quality of care that I received, nor am I going to – I mean, you know, these are, you know, two, three isolated incidences that are different from a whole group. But to say that – and you can't really compare all European countries – on their medicine and their quality of care, because people are actually going around to different places getting their care around the world. One thing, that's the first thing. Secondly, I love the Cleveland Clinic. I want you all to know I love the Cleveland Clinic, and I've been to the Cleveland Clinic. And, yes, they take the top of the top doctors from around the world to work at the Cleveland Clinic. They have a system better to none. And when this president talked about bringing that type of care, that Cleveland Clinic on that system. People want, oh, no, we don't want that because we don't want the government involved. We don't want that. We want to keep up. That's fine. You just cited his own example.
But this is my issue,
sweetie.
No, because listen, I've got three more calls to get in, but I want you to
understand. Go ahead.
The Cleveland Clinic, I am a proponent of it. But we would have done better by dealing with the Cleveland Clinic method of indigence than we would having socialized health care because the reason why I'm saying this is because I know what I'm talking about. We need to have a sliding scale of affordability for healthcare access. A sliding scale of affordability access to healthcare, not a socialized all on my system quality government healthcare.
We have that
system.
Already.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
To some degree, yes, we
no,
do.
No, you don't.
We do have that.
No, you don't.
You have insurance, yes, you do.
No,
you're
this is what I'm saying. I'm talking about access to health care. Remember, you have millions of people who do not have access to health care. The reason why we're having the health care conversation is because we had so many millions of people who did not have access to affordable health care. And what I'm saying is we could have taken clinics such as the Cleveland Clinic, put them on a sliding scale, actually made them subsidized for that. But what they've done is they have dumped the whole system, and they have now made the insurance companies unaccountable for where they're going and what they're going to be doing.
And Tracy, a lot of people do not realize that the Cleveland Clinic Charitable Foundation will
Cleveland
give people assistance, uninsured people,
that's what I
said, up to $80,000.
But the Cleveland Clinic is on a chart. The Cleveland Clinic is a private entity.
They have a serious foundation that takes care of indigence.
And it's
there in the Cleveland Clinic, and it's free to based on your income.
And it's funded by charity.
But again,
but that started years ago. The Cleveland Clinic has been around for what? I don't know, a couple of hundred years, a hundred
but
something
what
years.
I'm saying
and,
is
and
kinda,
what I'm trying to say.
You're
since
not,
the 1920s, okay.
It doesn't matter where it comes from. What I'm saying
but it
is
does. It
we
was
didn't
good
have
management. And
we
some of these hospitals didn't
so
start like
that.
So
why in the world don't we duplicate what works? Why would we implicate a whole new system with 1,400 pages of regulations? We know the Cleveland Clinic model works. We know it works. And we know that they're the best at it. So why not find their model and duplicate it around the globe? Instead of going out and taking a process that should be accessible and turning it into a money wash of regulations against people. That's what's wrong with Obamacare. You can call it Romney care. You can call it whatever care you want to talk about. I'm saying what they've done is.
Because, no, it's not. Because, first of all, the sad part about this country is that we don't give things a chance to work. We change it too fast before you get a chance to see the positive or negative effects. You don't give it enough
time. You have not read this. That's what I'm saying. The majority of Americans have not read the regulations inside of this health care bill. And what I'm saying is the weight of it's going to come back on the taxpayers and on the indigent.
And
it's going to be the lower working class that's going to be hurt the most.
And there's one phrase that's said over and over and over again in this bill, in this law, for the secretary to determine.
Again.
They are hiring thousands of bureaucrats to write more and more regulations. We don't even know where this thing's going to end up, but it's going to be awfully expensive, and it's going to hurt poor people.
And it's not going to hurt poor people. It's not going to hurt poor
people. It's going to hurt working poor people.
It's going to hurt working poor people. It's not going to hurt poor people. Just like because remember, it's now tied to your taxes. It's tied to the IRS.
It's not going to hurt the people that know how to game the system.
And that is the problem.
If you're making $15 an hour, it's going to hurt you.
716, your mic is on.
Hello.
Hello.
Does that mean you hear me?
I'm here.
Yes, I can.
Hey, how you doing? It's Dr. Hill.
Good. How you doing, Dr. Hill?
I'm good, good. What are y'all talking about today?
We started on money. We got the taxes, and then we got the health care.
Finally, we got an expert. Go ahead, Dr. Hill.
I'm just curious. I'm just listening and sort of seeing where this is going or where you all think
We got the health care because we. I said, you know, I think we could have done better with this. I don't think it's. I don't think that because of what it's going to cost the taxpayer. There's a better way of getting this, skinning this cat.
Dr. Hill.
Yes. Let me take a pause. I'm just going to listen for about 5 minutes. I'm in the middle of something, but I'll comment in about 5 minutes.
All right, 302, okay. Your mic is on. 302? Okay, you're just listening. All right. And the number is 347-945-5229. I'm just saying there is a better way we could have done this, and I appreciate your comments. But we need to – because what I believe is going to – because this is how it started. I said Republicans did not do anything for people. They work on taxes. But as far as dealing with people and the working class people – We don't deal with that. They deal with we're gonna do tax cuts. We're gonna do this. But as far as I don't need a tax cut. I'm gonna get all the money that I give back
plus some.
And Tracy, another thing that we don't talk about also is how come school is getting more and more expensive?
Because that's because of unions.
You're talking about college because we've got so much government money being invaded.
That's unions. Unions. But then you also gotta understand. Why am I paying $14,000 a year per pupil and they're still walking across the stage with no education?
Anytime you put free money out there and flood the market with money, the prices are going to go up. That's the bottom line.
And the accountability factor is just not there.
I heard Governor Scott in Florida had a great idea. He's going to cut tuition for math and science and engineering.
You know what?
If you major in math, science, or engineering, he wants in a Florida state school. He wants to cut the tuition for those disciplines.
But this is the issue: we're graduating from high school and having to spend more money in remedial education than we are. And so here we go again. Why are we? And look at right now on the ballot this past couple weeks, we had many school levies. We had renewals. Why are we paying anywhere from $14,000 to $17,000 a year per pupil in taxes and not getting a great education when you come out?
John Dewey.
Who's John Dewey?
He was a progressive education professor at University of Chicago in the teens. Because prior to him taking over the way we teach teachers in this country, the literacy rate was higher. The education rate was higher. I mean, I was just reading this morning some of the things that were done by kids in their teens, in this young men in their teens, before we had compulsory education.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Thanks, Doc. So I don't understand. I don't understand why we're allowing this to happen. And then when I talk about the Republican Party and when I talk about what's going on here, if you're not going to deal with people issues, how can you go and ask for their vote?
Exactly. If people don't even trust you and say we can't relate, did you see that thing, Tracy, when they said they did a survey to see how people could relate to Romney versus Obama? 80% said they could relate to Obama. At 20%
can
only relate to
Romney.
That's marketing.
But hold on.
That's not marketing.
Stanley.
That's not marketing.
That was marketing.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Listen, I put something up on my Facebook page here a couple days ago, and it was kind of interesting because, Martin Luther King said, judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin, okay?
Okay.
And... here's the thing that I've run into. We have not judged the content of the president's character, but yet we did judge the content of the character for Mitt Romney because we looked at what everybody else said about him. We didn't try and do what we need to do to find out what the man was all about. And that happens with just about every Republican that I've run into. They're all every time you look at them. Hold on, listen to what I'm saying, Stanley. Listen to what I'm saying. The news media has made a concerted effort to demonize every Republican, okay, that I've ever seen, I've seen it do it. Now, my problem with the Republicans, Sally, hold on, my problem with the Republicans is this. They don't fight back, okay? You don't come in my yard and slap me in my face and expect me to stand there and say, please, sir, may I have more? At a certain point, you have got to put action to those words that you're using. See, right now, people are happy. They think they're getting what they want. But someday, you're going to have to pay the piper. And I don't think they're going to like how they're going to have to pay that piper.
But this is what I'm saying, and I agree with you. But what I'm saying is, when you are dealing with people and you're talking about money, if I don't have any, then you're talking about tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. And you're talking about this other stuff. It means absolutely nothing to me when I'm sitting up here looking at a stack of bills trying to do the right thing and I can't get help.
Well Tracy, the people that are voting for them, they're not paying any taxes, just like we said before. So for them, it doesn't make any difference. It's not their money they're using anyway. They're not working for it.
That's what I'm saying. And when we go into, just like with health care, we want to know why everybody was so enamored about this health care bill is because everybody is looking at trying to find a way to be able to have affordable health care benefits. And no matter who, even if you have insurance, you keep on looking at these copays and they make you cry.
You know what? Am I on?
Yes, Doc.
Well, go ahead. Now you talk about, you look at these copays and it makes you cry. You know, you ever ask all the money you pay for your insurance, how much does a physician get in reimbursement from Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or wherever?
We don't even look at that. We don't even understand that they pick on you.
You don't, and you sort of think there's this thought that, well, doctors are rich, so they should see me for free. I mean, who we should be talking about is the insurance company.
I agree.
That's who we should be talking about.
And we don't want to talk about them. They have too much money, and their lobbying groups are too weighted.
But that's who we need to be talking about, because, you know, if someone comes to me just for a routine visit, I'm going to get $57 and some odd cents from Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's all I'm going to get.
Now, I have a question, Doc. How much does it cost for me with no insurance?
With no insurance?
With
cash,
no insurance.
Money.
Cash
I want
money.
To do cash money.
Well, you need to say how much will I charge you versus how much are you willing to accept.
Right.
Well, me personally, if you give me $65, I would be more than happy.
But okay, not you personally, but the average doctor, usually it's double. Am I correct?
Well, if I put it to you like this, I had someone come to me, self-pay, and she got a bill and was upset about how much the bill was, and she went to my website and sent a nasty email talking about how bad a doctor it was, and I told her what I charged her was half of what she would be charged by any other doctor here in town.
Right. See,
but she's upset at me because I charged her, and I didn't charge her that much. I think I only charged her, I had been $150, $200. That's all I charge.
We don't understand that. And see, that's where the issue comes in. We think all doctors are rich, and when you charge them, they get all the money, and that's not how it works.
Well, the problem with health insurance in this country is we've developed this mindset, your car insurance doesn't pay for oil changes. You buy insurance for catastrophes. And if we insured our health for catastrophes and planned on paying for our maintenance out of our own pocket, the whole system would be entirely different.
But you can't afford to pay for the maintenance. That's what I'm saying.
You probably
could. No, you really can't. It's like going to get a tooth pulled.
Doc, what would you charge? My wife and I have a WageWorks card. Are you familiar with that system?
Our
health savings account? We have a WageWorks card. You run it like a credit card. If she was to walk in there into your office for an exam, what would the bill be? All you got to do is run a credit card. What?
No, I'm in the middle of something. Give me both 1 minute. I can respond to you.
He'll come back in a minute. Listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 336-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Campfield, Ohio, on Route 224,
Frank,
is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Hello? Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com. Or hit us on Facebook, or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers, present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time, and that's what we do at HeartReach, and we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more, and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
Will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Share some musical moments with the Youngstown Symphony at the Majestic Powers Auditorium. Join me, Randall Craig Fleischer, and the Youngstown Symphony, Saturday, November 17 at 8 p.m. for Mozart's Turkish Violin Concerto. We'll highlight the lush richness of our strings in Barber's Adagio, and we'll pull out all the stops in Beethoven's Symphony No. 2. Call the box office at 330-744-0264 or at youngstownsymphony.com. You'll never forget it.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Youngstown State University's Ward Beecher Hall was evacuated yesterday afternoon because of a chemical spill. Officials emptied the building as a precaution. Classes for the evening session were canceled. Someone spilled hydrochloric acid and phosphoric acid on the fifth floor. About a gallon of the materials was spilled. A man from Columbiana County pleaded not guilty yesterday for a hit-and-run accident that killed a 9-year-old girl. 27-year-old Todd Roberts of Washingtonville entered his plea yesterday. He surrendered Friday to officials following the accident that took the life of Olivia Thompson of Salem. And Republican Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor says the new federal health care law is flawed, but the state is moving forward with the overhaul. States face a Friday deadline to let federal officials know if they will be setting up new health insurance markets under the law. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
I just hit myself in the head with my headset. I'm trying. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Got a guest on with me, Dr. Hill. I think he's still on hold. And 438, your mic is on. But I have a guest. His name is Frank Vernaccio. And I'm going to pull him up. Frank, are you there?
Great to be with you, Tracy.
It's good to have you. We've been talking about health care and money and poverty. And my co-host, his name is Lloyd. He just brought up, and we call him Stick, so when you hear him, I inadvertently use both names. When you hear, he just brought up unemployment, and I said, what a great segue. Because and when you talk about health care, when you talk about money, and you talk about benefits, and then you talk about unemployment, tell me, where are we right now? Because I don't think the numbers are honest.
Tracy, you're 100% right. The official rate is about 7.8%. But if you add in the folks who are underemployed, if you add in the folks who have run out of benefits and are no longer counted among the unemployed, the national rate, I believe, is closer to about 16.5%. But it gets worse than that. In the African American community, unemployment is not just a crisis. It's a national tragedy. We're talking about an unemployment rate in the African-American community that may reach up to 26.4% when you add in all those other factors.
Tell me, you know, I mean, from my looking in my research, I know that we're around 26 there, and we're around 30% for African-American males, and for African-American teenagers, we're somewhere around 50.
That's exactly right. And, again, you have to look at those government figures with kind of a jaded eye because they don't count the underemployed. They don't count people who have been out of work for so long. And, you know, we are talking about numbers of long-term unemployed. That's up to about 40% of all the unemployed in the United States. So when you count out those folks, you put them in the total number, you're talking about crisis levels, levels that are just about the same as during the Great Depression of the 1930s.
So why is it that no one wants to talk about it? No one wants to hear about it. No one has said anything. President Obama just overwhelmingly got support of most, 95% if the numbers stand true, of the African-American community without any accountability of those numbers.
Well, that's a bit of a mystery. And, again, I think the politicians are very good in both parties of hiding numbers that they don't like to talk about. And in the past election, I mean, if you were talking about had an honest discussion of a minimum unemployment rate in the African-American community of 26.4%, I doubt President Obama's numbers would have been as high as they were in the last election.
So how do we tell people, how do people begin to gauge what this means? Because I don't see it changing.
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is start demanding a lot more honesty from government agencies. You know, when they come out with these statistics that include just the bare minimum, they're not realistic. And I think we have to, and it depends on Tracy, on folks like you and I who speak out in public, to say, look, these are the numbers that have been released. They're not real. They're not there. We need an honest accounting from government agencies, particularly the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which puts out these numbers. And tell us the truth. Tell us the numbers that are really there. Stop discounting people who have run out of benefits, saying that they're no longer counted as part of the unemployed. Stop saying that folks who may have been making $35,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year working full-time, now have a job working 20 hours at McDonald's making minimum wage, stop saying that they're fully employed and counting them as no longer unemployed. We demand honesty.
Because when we look at the federal poverty line, when we look at, you know, because, you know, if you get laid off from a job, and you may have gotten a severance package, but when you get laid off from a job and you are making, say, $16 an hour and that industry is no longer viable, and you drop down to $7 an hour, you are under, or somebody say $8 an hour, $10 an hour, you are underemployed, and you really cannot keep up the quality of living that you are already, you're accustomed to.
Well, that's right, but remember, it's even worse than that because you're probably not only making about a third of what you made before, but you're not even getting the same amount of hours. We're talking about folks going from 40 hours a week, 35 hours a week, maybe to 20 or 25 hours a week. So the hourly wage is about half of what it was or a third of what it was, and you're not even getting enough hours to equal what you had before.
How do you think health care is going to play into this? Because, you know, I saw Papa John's, and they're talking about that they're going to reconfigure, and, you know, people were saying, well, maybe they ought to just quit advertising, and if they quit advertising, that puts me out of work.
I got a question for that.
Sure.
Am I on? When
yeah, Doc Hill, go ahead.
When businesses make this comment that because of Obamacare they're going to lay off people, you know, I would say on some level the bottom line is if I'm a businessman and I'm a smart businessman, my choice is this. What is more advantageous to me from a business perspective? It might be more advantageous for Papa John to take the penalty for not providing health insurance as opposed to providing health insurance for the employees. From a business standpoint, it might be. But as opposed to saying that from a business standpoint, you make up some nonsense that Obamacare is driving you out of business. Because speaking as a businessman, if I look at the numbers and I decide that it's more profitable for me not to provide health insurance and pay the penalty because my employees will be able to get health insurance through the exchange, et cetera, then that's what I would do.
Well, Lloyd, it's an interesting point, but what a lot of businessmen are calculating.
Frank, you are on the line with, I think there are four people on the line, so you'll hear different voices. That was Dr. Rodney Hill.
Dr. Hill, it's a pleasure to speak with you. One of the calculations that businesses are making, though, is that they might be better off financially if they had less employees total, but gave those employees more hours, perhaps some overtime, and then didn't have to pay the benefits package to more employees. So what it comes down to is that even though overtime might be more expensive, in terms of the benefits package cost, it might still be more financially efficient for them to do it that way. But it still results in the loss of, you know, a couple of jobs. I have a radio show here in New York City. I'm based out of the Bronx. And I know one of our advertisers was a small businessman, had 50 employees, and he's made the calculation that he'd rather give 40 employees more hours because it would save him overall in his payroll cost to do that rather than to have 50 employees will put him over the threshold to pay for the Patient Protection Act or sometimes called Obamacare expenses.
Well,
that's just
that's
the raw dollars and raw economic sense of it.
That's a smart business decision on his part. No more, no less.
But what does that do?
What happens to those 10 individuals that get laid off?
Yeah.
From a pure business standpoint, the person who owns that business, what is their objective? Their objective is to make money for themselves and their family. Now, a secondary benefit will be others get to be employed, but his primary objective is not to provide jobs for people. His primary objective is to make money for himself and his family. A secondary benefit is people get employed. Not a primary benefit.
Frank, what do you have to say? Hold on, go ahead, South Carolina. I got to let Frank back in, but go ahead, South Carolina.
Here's the problem you run into, and this is what Tracy was talking about earlier, about the taxes. I don't care about taxes because it doesn't affect me. I'm not paying any taxes anyway. What I pay it, I'm going to get it back. Well, what you've done is, in a sense, is essentially you forced the business to do something that it really doesn't want to, and getting rid of employees, but you're saying we're going to take care of those employees by giving them free health care. But that doesn't do anything for them if they got to pay the rest of their bills. So what's going to happen next? They're going to vendor out all the services, light, water, you know, telephone. Well, they already do the telephone. So basically, you are essentially creating a state of dependent individuals.
Frank?
Well, you're definitely taking the problem away from the businessman, and you're putting it on society in general. That's absolutely true. And if you combine that with the extraordinary increase in cost of living that businesses have to contend with, I mean, look, we all know gas was about $1.84 about 4 years ago. Now it's over $4 now. And I'm up in New York where Hurricane Sandy hit, and we can't even get gas up here at the moment. So, you know, businesses are faced with enormous increases in cost of living. They're looking at increased expenses from the Patient Protection and Care Act, Obamacare. And they're facing they're going to be looking at anything they can do to cut down cost. And if they can evade additional expenses under Obamacare by laying off employees, unfortunately, that's what they're going to do. And by the way, that's what they are, in fact, doing. But there's more than that. I mean, look, we're competing now in a global economy, which has not really been very kind to the American worker at all. And the more onus, the more regulation, the more procedures we put on American businesses, the less competitive we're going to be with around the world, and the more of our jobs are going to be lost to places around the world.
That didn't sound good.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's Stanley.
What's Stanley?
Yes. The question I want to ask him, do you see that there's a difference when it comes, like I said, between employees and bosses, where I feel that a lot of bosses are basically, like he said, doing everything possible to get the money that they need to do and don't care and don't have the loyalty that they used to have with employees. It used to be a philosophy that when you own a business, yes, you were maybe the boss, but your employees were basically your heart of your company, and if you treated well your employees, you would get more profit, and more profit would bring more business. Now I've seen bosses that are basically saying, you know what, we need to cut, and we need to cut on the employees because I don't care about them, and I care about myself, and that's being selfish, because your business became great because of your employees, because without your employees, you wouldn't have a business.
But we
have a business. You're looking at it from the wrong perspective, Stanley. What you've got to understand is it's not the employer that's doing this. It's the federal government that's doing it, Stanley. The federal government is putting regulations that's forcing the employers to do this. That is the misconception that is going on in this country. Why are we not looking at it's the federal government's regulation, not the employee doing? You know? I mean, you want a job so you can pay your bills, so a businessman wants to do the same thing, but if the federal government.
Hold on.
Stop it. Frank, what do you think about that?
Well, look, I think what Stanley brings up, I think, is an interesting point, because there was a time when if you went into a company, particularly if it was a larger company, General Motors, IBM, something like that, you had a reasonable expectation that if you kept your nose clean, you did a decent job, you would have a job for life, that there was that loyalty back and forth between the company and the employee. I think, though, that with the rising cost of living and with the way that government has imposed itself on the business world, the businesses are almost forced to scrap for every penny they can save. And, I think one of the things I'm hearing out there is that with the economy being as bad as it is right now, it's almost easier to get more in the financial correct column by saving money rather than by investing money. And that if a business felt that by growing it could do well, it would do that by hiring more employees and getting more business. But business is so bad right now that rather than take the risk of investing and expanding, they're saying, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, so rather than expand, hire more people, do more business, I'm just going to cut my costs to the bone any way I can, and it doesn't matter who gets hurt.
Isn't the bottom line, the reason an employer hires employees is because there's more demand for whatever his business sells. So if he's not getting more, I'm not getting more demand, I'm not going to hire any more employees.
Well, except that in the way things work now with automation, with computers and everything else, that's not necessarily as true as it was maybe 25, 30 years ago. You talk to people who are fortunate enough to still have their jobs, and that's not a great number right now, and they're telling you they're working harder than ever. Some of them are working more hours than they even want, and it's because it's cheaper to have less employees doing more hours rather than to hire more employees for whom you have to pay more benefits.
That's smart business.
Hold on. Pianchi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. The longer you work a person, their productivity diminishes there's a fact that is involved in that. If I was putting up an office building, I would rather work straight time and hire more employees rather than take a fewer employees and work them longer hours.
Do you own a business?
Structure steel erection business, yes. Erect office buildings and bridges. But the thing is that government regulations does cause a whole lot of problems. And I give you an example. We got OSHA regulations. Then if you work a core engineer's project, they got regulations also. Then we have what's known as industry standards, something that we've been using for over 100 years. So when you work for – when these governments impose these regulations like core engineers – and also the OSHA, and also FEMA. That causes a lot of problems, which is nothing other than cost that's just going to be passed down to the consumer.
So when we go back to unemployment, because right now the numbers are going to come back out again, and I don't think they're going to look better than they did the last week. My question is, if you're not working, you can't pay for anything. If you can't pay for anything, the government doesn't receive any tax increases. We're talking about a fiscal cliff, but we're not looking at a job where we're getting ready to fall over into the ocean.
Well, you're absolutely right. We have to go back to the only other example we can look to, which is the Great Depression of the 1930s. That's the only thing that was as bad as what we're experiencing now. And unfortunately, if you look carefully at how we got out of that depression, it wasn't through any of the programs that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt put up. It was when Americans went back to work making ships, planes, and tanks. Those produced middle-income jobs, as well, of course, as taking people into the military. And yet the only federal program that looks like it's slated for a massive hit is defense. And that is going to take away a lot of middle-income jobs. It's
now,
going
now,
to get
Frank,
worse.
Now, Frank, I got let's back up to unemployment again a little further. I got a theory that an awful lot of people that they say aren't no longer looking for jobs have entered the underground economy. They got a pickup truck and a hammer, or they're electricians or whatever, and their wives got a job with benefits, so they're not really looking for full-time hourly employment because I can make $400 or $500 a week working out of my pickup truck. Is that what you're seeing?
There is some element of that, and I'll tell you where it's most manifest. Males over 50 are finding it almost impossible to find reemployment if they've lost their lifelong job. And so what a lot of them are able to do is they're able to get doctor's notes and able to say that they went out on disability, and so now they're getting disability payments. That's one part of it. But what you said is very interesting in terms of just picking up a hammer and doing a job off the books. Why is that so much better in terms of financial return for some people? It's because even though they're actually running a small business, might be a one-person business, but it's a business nonetheless, they're not subject to the same government regulations that are driving legit businesses out of work.
And see, and it's very rare to start up a small business today with the regulations that they have and make it profitable so that you can actually hire other people, because hiring people costs so much money today.
Yeah,
well, not only that, but it's so complicated that you practically have to have an accountant and a lawyer on staff. And what small businessman is going to be able to do that?
You can't afford it.
Right.
Well, especially these EPA regulations. A friend of mine in Maryland has the indoor organic fish farm, which is the largest in the country. And his discharge water has to be cleaner than the water that comes in from the taps.
So what
I mean, a lot of the regulations don't make any sense at all. But it's also not only the federal government, but the impact of local governments, too. Here in New York City, for example, we had a small restaurant. It was like two tables inside the restaurant, more like a pizza place than anything else. Well, one fine summer day, the fellow who owned it decided to put one table outside in the fresh air with two chairs. He got a $10,000 fine the next day.
Now, Frank, do you see us becoming a nation of independent contractors with this regulation and everything that's coming down on employers' heads?
I really don't. I think it's hard to prognosticate where we're going to go. I think at some point, though, there's going to be a mammoth outcry for the government to get off the backs of business. We need a social compact where businesses do their best to hire as many people as they can, and in return, the federal government and even state and local governments start to back up a bit and knock off the draconian nonsense that they keep pounding over the heads of small businessmen.
Now let me say that. Let me ask you this: how do we? Because you know, we just passed through an election, and it looks as though everybody wants things to go into where the middle class is going to grow the economy. Not quite sure how that's going to work, but that's what I hear. How in the world are we going to do that when we have the employers now shifting because of the uncertainty, Obamacare getting ready to come into effect, and no one is going to stay in business and lose money?
Well, the unfortunate answer is I think you're absolutely right. No one is going to stay in business to lose money. I think we have to have a pretty dramatic change in course. We have to turn away from big government in terms of its impact on business and go to a government that says, look, we have a terrible unemployment crisis. We want people hired. The first priority of this government is to get people back to work. And we're going to have to bite the bullet, and if it means telling the federal bureaucrats and the state and local bureaucrats, we want people hired, so get off the backs of businesses. I think that's what's going to have to be done. And if not, well, I think that 26.4% unemployment in the African-American community and the 16.4% unemployment nationwide, I think is just going to keep going up and up.
Now, they tell me the Dow is still going down and down.
Sure. The one thing the market hates worse than anything else is uncertainty. And right now we're in extremely uncertain times.
Down and down, Israel striking the Gaza Strip, the new president and a fiscal cliff does not make for a good, stable economy.
No, it does not. But, again, we're not looking at some obvious things that the government can do. In addition to just getting off the backs of businesses, look, we have a military that has been depleted over the past 20 years. We need to put people back to work rebuilding the military. In 1990, we had 600 ships in our Navy. Today, we've got only 284. Shipbuilding is a good business for hiring people. That's something we should take a look at.
Yeah, well, when you rebuild military, then you want to go to wars. And we surely don't need no more wars.
Well, to be honest with you, I have to disagree with that entirely. I think if you look at the history of the Cold War, the fact is the overwhelming power of the American military prevented a war from happening rather than igniting a war.
Frank, I seem to just come out of the election, and something that I seem to notice was it seemed like the president was trying to pit the employer middle class against the employee middle class. Were you seeing that type of a thing?
I think that's a good point. I think he was. I don't think fighting each other is going to solve anything at this point. I got to tell you, I know a lot of small businessmen who, in addition to running their own business, have to have a job someplace else because the business isn't all that profitable. So you're going to have the same people who might own a small business but actually might work for someone else in a different capacity. I don't think there's any class distinction or warfare between the two groups, and I think it's silly to try to aggravate that problem.
Frank, how long do I have you on with me today? How long did they book you for?
I'm at your discretion.
Uh-oh, then no, I'm going to kidnap you. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. South Carolina, handle the phones while I'm offline. I'll see you on the other side of my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 2 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock, and we'll see you on the other side.
All right, everybody.
South Carolina.
Hey.
Is it you who said, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up? How's everybody doing?
Yeah, somebody's got the
radio on.
Their mic or something on.
But I was, you know, talking about the military. I attended a meeting last week where some interesting groups was talking about the military need to be cut back anywhere from $2 to $4 trillion over the next decade. Back down to like $200 billion a year.
Why do we need more military, like he said? Because, like you said,
I can tell you why. Actually, there's some numbers that no one wants to look at, but are there. The fact of the matter is, both the Russians are rearming way back to Cold War levels. The Chinese are getting extremely aggressive in the Pacific. They've built up a military that's astounding. They always had a large military, but now they have a technology that's the equivalent of ours. And they haven't been shy about threatening to use it. They've used it already. They've stolen resources from the Philippines. They're threatening Japan. And for guys like me who have some gray hairs on my head and you know, grew up in the Vietnam era, the prospect of seeing the Vietnamese, or the reality of seeing the Vietnamese practically beg the United States to come back into the area to provide some protection is a little weird, to say the least, but it's there. So between the Russian threat and the Chinese, I don't think it's a good time to disarm. And you know, but you can also use the economic argument as well. Defense contracting is a huge source of jobs for the middle class. It's counterproductive to count that out right now at a time when it's a very, very sharply needed program. People
well, you
don't.
Know,
you talk about cutting $1 trillion off the military here or there. Again, people don't realize how much the military has shrunk in the past 15 to 20 years. It's really gone way down.
Well,
what don't realize is in Vietnam, the key participants was the United States, Vietnamese, China, and Russia. And you know, people don't realize that China and Russia were fighting against us in Vietnam.
Well,
other people realize that or not.
You know, military defense is like $27 billion, down to about $660 billion now. In the year 2000, it was right at $200 billion. So I don't see why it's been cut. Another point: China and Japan is arguing over islands and also history books. And China, because it is becoming a economic powerhouse in the world, will produce a blue seas navy to protect its water, this cargo that's going to be floating on the high seas. So we can see.
Well, here's the problem, though. I mean, if that's what it was doing, it wouldn't be a problem. But China has used that blue sea navy to steal resources from others. In the Spratly Islands, which are off the coast of the Philippines and lay within the Philippine territorial waters, the Chinese Navy just sailed in and took control over that area. It essentially just stole those resources from the Philippines.
Well, there has been a lot of back and forth between them over there all along. But
no, actually it hasn't. Those resources, those waters, the Spratly Islands, have been in the province of the Philippines in living memory. China never had any real claim to them whatsoever. So this is something new, and it's something very, very aggressive.
So you think America is supposed to be the police of the world?
No, absolutely not. I don't think we have to be the policemen of the world. But I do think we have resources and assets that other nations don't have. I think other nations should defend themselves to the extent that they can. But I think we do have to realize that at some point, just as it was in World War II, we can ignore a situation for so long, and sooner or later it winds up right in our shores. Here's something else that most people don't understand. As American contractors, for a variety of reasons, we're chased out of areas around the world, a lot of it having to do with our own internal American regulations. The Chinese have moved in. I don't know if you folks are aware of it, but the Chinese have operating commercial bases on either side of the Panama Canal. Now think about that in the event of an emergency, how dangerous that is.
Oh,
wrong with that noise?
What is that, Judge Julie?
Sounds more like Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Well, I guess okay, we just have to agree to disagree. I'm totally against myself. I think that it's a waste of money. It could be used elsewhere than spending that kind of money. Hey, it's just you're just gonna have to realize it. It's just gonna have to come down. And another thing too, the demographic of the United States is changing. The warmongers are dying out. By 2100. Those who represent this ideology about war is going to represent less than probably a third of the population of the country. So that don't.
Yeah, frankly, I'd have to strongly disagree with saying that one ethnic group or the other is more warlike than the other. I just don't buy that at all, I'm afraid.
But don't you think that there's other way to do than just completely going to war? And what about the war? What about all the money that we spent for two wars?
I'm sorry. Was that our host coming back on?
Yeah, I came back through. Are they behaving in there? Because I hope they didn't jump on you, did they?
No, we had a great argument, great discussion.
Okay, a little spirited. I was reading up to my terrestrial radio audience your bio, who you are. And what you do, and why, how I got to know you. What is CAMACTA? CAMACTA?
CAMACTA. It's a Community Action Civic Association. What we try to do is we look at a lot of problems on the national and local level, and we just try to get folks from all different ideologies and all different political parties to sit down without screaming, without yelling, without getting their backs up, and to talk to each other. To see whether they can come up with agreed upon solutions to the, or at least approaches to those issues, that we can then talk about, do editorials on, and perhaps educate our elected officials about how to get things done.
So how's that working out for you?
Well, sometimes it works, and a lot of times it doesn't. Unfortunately, I think we're going from a government. As Lincoln used to say, of the people, by the people, and for the people, to a government that's of the politicians, by the politicians, and for the politicians. And trying to get our elected officials to focus on what's good for the people rather than on their own careers isn't the easiest thing in the world to do these days.
Frank, I'm afraid we're headed for some form of fascist state. The president met with the labor unions yesterday, and today's meeting with big business, and he refuses to meet with the Chamber of Commerce. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's wrong to not give equal time to each segment of our society. And frankly, when you talk about the labor unions, I think within the labor movement itself, there is going to be a growing civil war, if you will, because there is a huge dichotomy of interest between public service unions and the private unions. We just saw that in Michigan. Proposition number 2, which was on the ballot in the state of Michigan, talked about enshrining some union benefits in the state constitution. And it turned out that it wasn't a question just of business owners disliking the idea. It turns out that private sector unions felt that that would put them in a position of inferiority, and that it would hurt the economy, and that private sector unions could get hurt very badly in that case.
How did that issue go down? Did it pass or did it fail?
Proposition 2 passed handily in Michigan, so that was defeated handily in Michigan, so that the public service unions do not have constitutional protections for their benefits.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it went down pretty solidly in defeat. There was a group called the Mackinac Institute. Along with private sector unions and along with, I guess, the Chamber of Commerce in Michigan, and they came together to defeat the idea.
Between that and Elmore, they're going to mess up Christmas for a lot of people.
Also, something I see, Frank, and if you'd comment, is I see a disconnect between the rank-and-file blue-collar unions and the leadership when it comes to things like the Keystone Pipeline and CAFE standards for automobiles, and here in our area, fracking and drilling and coal mining.
You couldn't be more correct. You're absolutely right. And I think, part of the problem is, and I know I'm going to get hit on the head by a bunch of folks for saying this, but a lot of the leadership of the unions have more interest in their own careers and in playing politics than in creating jobs for their members. And we're seeing that all over the place. And I think you're right. There's a real dichotomy of interest between union leadership and union rank and file.
How do we get to, now this is my concern. Getting the average Joe, whose father has been a part of the Steelworkers Union since it was concepted back in the 1900s, tell me, how do I get them to understand that the union of today is not the union of our great-grandparents? Because they don't look at the union being as big business any longer. They think the union is my friend. And I'm watching the negotiation. I watched that General Motors negotiation a couple years ago, and that was the biggest political theater I've seen in a long time.
Well, you're right. And you know, it's been manifest in a couple of different ways. I mean, we know for a fact that in the past, a lot of the unions were very racist. They certainly weren't the friend of the minority community when they were there. And now, again, we see a split of interest between people just entering the union and entrenched union members, guys who have been there for 20 or 30 years. So in many ways, the leadership of the union represents only a very small faction of its members. And I think, again, going back to the question about Comacta, we just have to get the facts out there, because we're not really playing with all the facts in these public debates. A lot of it is sort of cliches or images that are perhaps 50 or 60 years old and completely out of date. People have to understand what unions are like today, not what they were supposed to do 50 years ago when they had a great hand in creating the American middle class.
Because making them accountable to the actual collective body is very, very difficult. And we live in a very, very strong union area. And I'm watching them being manipulated by the system, but the system not paying back. And even with the presidential election this year, I don't see anybody maneuvering for a future for the vote that they actually received.
Well, there's another issue that's vitally important, too, that no one is talking about but is going to hit like a thunderclap when it does hit. According to federal law, if you have a union pension fund, it's supposed to be financed, I believe it's about 80% of what you owe is supposed to be, you know, someplace in a bank in your name. A lot of the union pension funds now sit at about 25%, which means that guys are going to retire – and they're going to be told by the union, well, sorry about that, but those monies aren't there. And I think when you see a lot of the unions contributing millions of dollars to somebody's political campaign, when their own pension fund is underfunded, that's got to be an explosive issue that people have got to understand is not going to work to the benefit of the union membership.
Oh, my God.
Unions actually, I can attest for the construction industry. They have PACs that they use as contribution sources for political campaigns. But, you know, that same effect also exists with public pensions, too.
That's where that federal guarantee fund came in.
Yes.
Imagine, if you will, though, the impact on your tax dollars and on the federal budget if a whole bunch of big union pensions go belly up in a couple of years. Where's that money going to come from? A budget that's already $16 trillion in deficit, that's going to grow another $7 trillion in the next 10 years? I don't see where that money can possibly come from.
Well, that's why I think that a lot of money should be put back into infrastructure that the federal government is going to have to pay. States doesn't have the money to pay for all the dilapidated bridges that exist in states.
The federal government doesn't have the money to pay.
Well, we're talking about the difference between spending money at home for things that's going to put bread and potatoes on the table rather than guns and ships and airplanes.
But if you don't have them, because if we become too vulnerable, we still have enemies, whether we like to know it or not. Just because they think they like our president doesn't mean they like us.
Yeah, like Al-Qaeda and Taliban.
I mean, I'm watching, breaking news over in Israel. They just blew up some stuff over there a few minutes ago.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I think
that's a problem that we need to stop throwing money at.
Well, I mean, you know, then again, you have to look at what type of potential enemy are you dealing with. You know, during the Cold War, the only benefit was that the Russians would have taken over the world if they had the opportunity without blowing themselves up. But when you're dealing with people like the Taliban, who see nothing wrong, for example, with shooting little girls who express a desire to go to school, or, as was recently said, they want to blow up the pyramids because they're un-Islamic. You're dealing with irrational people who get hold of nuclear forces, and I think you ignore that type of threat at your peril.
And I agree.
But don't you think that those people, Iraq, let's say they do get the nuclear weapon, maybe they're getting that nuclear weapon because they want us to not have the power like when we decided to invite Iraq to attack them anytime we want. And that's where I agree with Iran that's saying basically we want to defend
ourselves. But we've never been irrational. I mean, we've never been irrational. I mean, we'll blow you up, but we let you know we're coming. We don't just blow up kids for the sake of blowing them up.
Yes, well, but it was still wrong to attack another country that had nothing to do with the reason of 9/11.
But again, remember that whether you agree or disagree, we did not go in and invade irrationally. You can agree or disagree with why we went, but irrationally, we just didn't go and blow up stuff. That's just not how we went in. And when you look at unemployment, when you look at what's going on in our community, when you look at how things are, we need to take a better look at this, because right now you can't produce money that you don't have. And right now, unemployment means no one's producing something. Unemployment means you are a non-productive citizen in the United States of America. And you're receiving benefits, but you are not, there's no reciprocity. So now the question is, how do we actually start getting money back into the system that's going to take care of our quality of life and build the infrastructure that we're talking about?
And we also forget, too, that there is no new wealth created until a human being acts on a natural resource. And we've got an administration that wants to lock up all of our natural resources. We could solve this problem if they just get out of our way with this energy that we have in the United States. We can be 100% energy independent within a couple of years. Just get out of the way.
But then you won't have President Obama in office, because remember, he made a commitment to Bloomberg, who's this guy's mayor, about global warming.
But
hold on, Pionki. Hold on. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up Mike Bloomberg, who I think is really an example of the type of elitist politician who doesn't have any understanding of what it's like to be a normal citizen in the United States of America. You're absolutely right. Mayor Bloomberg, who's one of the wealthiest men in the world, has pushed global environmental stuff, sometimes irrationally, at the expense of jobs. And look, no one wants dirty air or dirty water or anything like that at all. But a lot of the stuff that he's pushed has been without backing of scientific proof. And it has cost jobs. I can tell you in New York City, if you look at places like where I broadcast and where I live in the Bronx, the general unemployment rate, official unemployment rate, is 13.9%, which means the real unemployment rate is probably closer to 30%. And a lot of it is due to the mayor, whose policies, who he says are for clean air or clean water, have pushed industry right out of the city of New York. And I think that's a real harbinger of what's in store for the rest of the United States, with people like Bloomberg influencing policy.
And I think you're correct with that, because right now Stix is in here talking about coal and Marcellus and Utica Shale, and they want the money, they want the power, but they don't want to crack any eggs to make the omelet.
Well, what scares me, Jeff, is that nobody can tell me how clean is, because there's got to be a point. The earth cleans itself. A human body can stand one beer a day, but if you go drink two-fifths of whiskey, you're going to die. And the earth is similar. It can clean itself up to a certain point, but nobody can tell me how clean is.
Well, that's a great point. And also, we have to have a better look at the historical evidence. You know, we talk about, you know, maybe 100 or 200 years ago in terms of weather patterns. Well, how many people really want to talk about the fact that in the 10th century A.D., England was as warm as the south of France is today? And then 500 years later, it was the Little Ice Age, and things were pretty rough. So the Earth does go through cycles, and if we panic every time we see maybe a 50-year variation or even a 100-year variation in the weather, and we destroy our economy, You know, I think that's an irrational thing to do, and it's a very elitist thing to do because the Mike Bloombergs and the George Soroses of the world have their money. They don't have to worry about it. Even if they lose a billion or two, they're still going to be just fine. But most normal working people, if they lose that job because of that billionaire's pet peeve, they're starving.
And what's going to happen when they close half of the coal-fired power plants in the United States of America?
Do you want me to tell you what's going to happen? You're not going to have any more jobs because we're going to blow on windmills and have electricity.
And by the way, the distribution of those windmills is kind of ironic. There was a proposal to put windmills off the coast of Hyannisport in Massachusetts, but the Kennedy family didn't like the idea, even though they were one of the biggest proponents of environmentalism. But it ruined their view from their mansion, and so they were very much against that idea.
And I'm sure you're aware of the sheer numbers of these things that they're needing to plant.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about taking vast amounts of territory to do it. And, of course, you know, one of the other factors people don't talk about is in the manufacture of solar panels, there's all sorts of polluting activities that goes on with the manufacture of a solar panel, kind of like the debate between the mercury that's present in those fluorescent bulbs that the federal government keeps trying to push down everyone's throat. We don't know any way to dispose of that mercury. So is it worse to have the energy-wasting incandescent bulb, or is it better to pollute the earth with the mercury that's in the fluorescent lights?
Well, and what about the huge amounts of pollution it takes to create nickel-cadmium batteries for electric cars?
Valid
point. So we're going to make a whole lot of people unemployed that are coal miners. We won't employ people to do fracking. And we're going to blow on windmills and hope the sun comes out in Northeast.
Yeah, absolutely right.
We got issues.
Yeah, and I think the issue is America prospered, I think, the most when it was a nation of small businesses and middle-class people who held the power. And I think right now we're getting into a period of elitism where it's the, you know, billionaire fellows like Mike Bloomberg of New York, John Corzine, who was the billionaire governor of New Jersey and then lost a couple of billion dollars in investors' dollars but still didn't go to jail for it. When they're taking the reins of power, you're seeing the middle class being stepped on and eradicated. And as a result, the country is going down the tubes, too, if we allow those policies to continue.
But the middle class is the one who's actually carrying this bottle of water for them. I mean, do we understand? I mean, when you look at elitism, you don't see their faces. They're like, you know, we have another co-host named Jeff, and we call him, he talks about shadow people.
Yeah, and you know, part of the reason for that is, and not just to flatter you as a host, but I mean, on the major networks, do you ever hear a discussion just like the one we've had over the past hour?
No.
The fact is you don't. It's a very surfacey discussion with a lot of slogans and a lot of nonsense, but really no in-depth discussions. We've had some disagreements in the past hour, but they've been intelligent, and we've probed the depths of it. We've gone from everything to unions to environmentalism and the impact on the economy. But that type of in-depth discussion doesn't occur in the newspapers. It doesn't occur on the major media. And that's part of the reason why the middle class really, I think, doesn't have the opportunity to weigh in on these issues.
And that's really sad.
I read a book several years ago called The Rockefeller Files. It explained this system, and it appears that it's coming to fruition where you have big business in bed with big government to the detriment of everybody else.
And don't forget big unions are in that pot, too.
And big unions, yes. Because the unions control the blue-collar labor, and the businesses control the unions with perks, and the government controls. It's a symbiotic relationship, government-business.
Okay, so where you said the unions call, who controls what? What was this?
The unions control the blue-collar worker.
Okay.
By getting him to vote the way that they want him to.
Okay.
It keeps the politicians in power. And the politicians in the big business, I'm talking General Motors and General Electric,
okay,
have a symbiotic relationship where they scratch each other's back to the detriment of everyone.
So who do the people control?
Nobody.
Well, the people people are union workers that go home and cash a check and vote. But many of the politicians that we support also try to keep agencies like OSHA in check.
In what way?
Well, some of the crazy ideas they have that they want to implement. And these regulations that they come up with on how businesses that have been doing something for, you know, a long time have very good safety records, and they want to impose something that, you know, that they have no idea on. I just basically have to say that. That costs money, and that money has to be passed on to the consumer.
Yeah, one example of that I read years ago was OSHA said, and I'm not sure the exact numbers, but like the risers on your steps in your factory had to be nine inches apart. And this factory had them, they were 8.5 inches apart, so OSHA came in and made them tear out every set of steps in the entire factory and replace them.
I've heard that story, and that sort of thing happens all the time. This has been one of the best conversations I've had in a long time, and I hope you'll have me back. Right now I'm scheduled to do an interview on another station.
You got it. You got it, Frank. You're always welcome.
I would
welcome.
Love to come back and continue the conversation.
Thank you so much. We appreciate having you.
Thank you very much.
Frank, tell us about your website and your show, how we can catch you online.
In fact, if your listeners would like to have a free subscription to my my newsletter, simply send your email address to usgovpolicy, that's usgovpolicy, @gmail.com, and I'll set you up with a free subscription.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'll be back in just a moment.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accept.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSLM News. Youngstown State University's Ward Beecher Hall was evacuated yesterday afternoon because of a chemical spill. Officials emptied the building as a precaution. Classes for the evening session were canceled. Someone spilled hydrochloric acid and phosphoric acid on the fifth floor. About a gallon of the materials was spilled. A man from Columbiana County pleaded not guilty yesterday for a hit-and-run accident that killed a 9-year-old girl. 27-year-old Todd Roberts of Washingtonville entered his plea yesterday. He surrendered Friday to officials following the accident that took the life of Olivia Thompson of Salem. And Republican Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor says the new federal health care law is flawed, but the state is moving forward with the overhaul. States face a Friday deadline to let federal officials know if they will be setting up new health insurance markets under the law. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Hi, I'm Dick Yingling, President.
Okay. What were we saying, Piyaki?
Was that you belching like that, man? My goodness, come on now.
Oh, no, that wasn't me.
Something rattled my computer.
Nah, man.
But see, that's the point. Whether it's Democrat or Republican, nobody wants to cut that defense military spending. That is totally
ridiculous. You're almost in a catch 22. Because if you do, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, there's ways you can do things, but there's certain things you gotta pay for, and then the crazy world we live in, that's just it. Especially when you're dealing with folks, you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, with $5 trillion. Iraq and Afghanistan that's going to cost the U.S.
Exactly. That's over 10 years now.
We could have gave every man, that's $500 billion a year, you could have gave every man and child over in that area $100,000 and they would have been the best of friends.
No, not really. because you're dealing with that, but you're also going to be dealing with issues of how do you deal with the radical? With the radicals, you know?
Well, you kill the radical, but that doesn't mean doing your war to the rest of the whole country.
But
you know.
But here's the thing, Stanley. When we went into Vietnam, okay, we were in a small area of Vietnam, okay? But with the aggression with the guys that we were fighting, hey, they didn't want what they wanted, they wanted the entire nation, just like Korea.
Yeah, but you talking about the radicals, well, with these drone strikes, you're just creating more.
Yeah. Because when you kill everybody in the village, and including the radical, you're just provoking more people to basically hate America. And eventually, like the old pastor of Obama said, it's going to come back to hate us.
And not only that, South Carolina is unsustainable. You just can't pay for all that. You can't have.
Yeah,
I mean, I put the number. Who called me?
Yeah. How could you be the example of the world when you authorized to basically attack another country?
Stanley, here's the thing that you're not seeing. You're looking at it. You're looking at it from almost a point of view that is really unrealistic. You're looking at it as the United States. We're these big bad guys, and we're always jumping on people. You need to take a look back and look at history and just think about what would have happened if the United States had not taken the stand it took.
Well, I'm sorry to say, except World War II, if we're going back to what Ron Paul said, there would have been not 9/11. 9/11 would have never happened. Trust me not.
Stanley,
I agree
with you on that.
Are you telling me, because, be honest, I just want to ask you a question. Are you telling me, if you've read many things of the CIA and what we've done around the world, that you're proud as an American? When you're looking at all
Stanley,
the...
Do you even know what the CIA does? Are you just believing the conspiracy that the CIA...
No, I'm not believing the conspiracy. I'm reading those books.
Nobody really knows what the CIA does, even the president. But look at this, though, South Carolina. Medicaid and Medicare are $755 billion. Social Security, $780 billion. Defense and War, $662 billion. Income Security, $370 billion. Interest on the debt, $260 billion. And federal pensions. He was talking about pensions may not get paid. Well, federal pensions are vulnerable, too. $213 billion. That's more... That's not including everything, but that right there is more than the income of the United States. It's unsustainable.
What is?
It's unsustainable to spend more money than what you're taking in year after year.
That's what I know. But here's where the problem comes in. Okay. Yeah, you can cut some from the defense budget. But you are also going to have to cut some money from these programs that these people are receiving. You've got people out there that absolutely need them. You've got people that absolutely need them. But you have got a lot of waste out there, man. When you are spending 70% of your budget on administrative costs, come on, that's not helping the people.
It is if it's in my pocket.
Yeah, if you work for the social, if you're a Social Security administrator, that 70% comes in handy.
So I only got about 20 minutes, guys. How you guys doing in the chat room? You guys behaving a little bit?
Cool?
Okay, good. Listen, I just have a question for anybody. I understand that they want to put Susan Rice's name up for Secretary of State.
Oh, my goodness.
Just
that's
hit
crazy.
Me in the head with a sledgehammer.
Hold on. I just want to know.
I heard they want to make John Kerry Secretary of Defense. How do you feel about that, South Carolina?
I'm going to get religion priest.
Oh, no. No.
The traitor in chief.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to go find about did John McCain just, like, say she wasn't qualified?
Well, see, Tracy, that's why I come out like you. See, now you don't jump on us because saying that all you're doing now is attacking women.
I honestly, and I hate to say this, and I might be a little bit old-fashioned, but I think we've had, three terms of women. Who was the Secretary of State for Bill Clinton? Four?
Oh, yeah, Madeleine Albright.
I think right now, honestly, my personal opinion, and I've changed the topic completely, I think we need to go get a man.
I think we need John Bolton.
For Secretary of State right now.
Oh, no, not him.
And the reason why I say that we need to have a man for Secretary of State right now is because we're dealing with areas that across the globe that are chauvinistic.
Exactly.
And I'd honestly like to see a black man.
Well, not no Alan West.
We're talking about President Obama's appointment. It won't be Alan West. But I would like to see an African-American male. And just because we've never had an African-American male. Oh, I take that back. Colin Powell.
Oh.
Never mind. So, but I think we need to go back and get Colin Powell and put him back as Secretary of State.
I don't think he'd come back.
I doubt it, but I'm just saying. And the reason why I'm saying that it's time for a man, we're dealing with chauvinistic countries right now, and we need somebody that can go over there and carry a big stick. And women, we're good at what we do, but we're still not respected for who we are, as I think we should be.
Well, I think if we talk about all this energy reserves that the United States have, well, let's get on that as fast as we possibly can. Then you won't have to depend on this pseudo dependency on oil coming out of the Middle East.
They don't want that.
Bianchi, if the government would get out of my way, I could have every car in Northeast Ohio running on natural gas within a year.
They don't want that. You got to realize. We need to be honest that American, there are people in America that do not want America to be independent.
Well, there's one in the White House that doesn't want America.
I didn't mention.
He doesn't believe in American exceptionalism. He doesn't believe that this is the greatest country on the planet.
I don't care. I'm not going to go into what he believes. I don't care what he believes. What I'm saying is,
but he's making policy.
But you're missing the point. He's not making the policy without people behind him, and there are groups of people who do not want Americans, and I'm not laying blame at Obama's feet because he's not the only one.
That's true.
Half the country put him in.
That's true.
So, but we need to understand that there are people out there who do not want America to be independent because if they did, they would not allow stupid decisions to be made.
But the thing,
and why would you have an electric car and you need coal, but you don't want coal and you want wind and solar? It's not common sense. Private caller, your mic is on.
Well, Tracy, I really love the seriousness of your show. I know Bianchi from another show. I'm Cat Girl. Well, I think that what's behind the absence of the drilling in America that we would have had under a Romney administration is because there is an elite group of people who are totally dedicated to making even vaster fortunes from green energy and environmentally friendly energies like solar and so they're just waiting around, you know, and they have the time and the resources to put into the, you know, the early years of research and all, getting their the type of, you know, like electric cars off the ground, where we don't have time. We're sitting here suffering in America, you know, because we don't. We could have cheaper energy. We could have lower gas prices, but they have this big environmental movement, which is extremely corrupt. It's a very corrupt system. For example, part of the stimulus money went to a company called, what's it, Pianchi, you remember the car made in Finland that
Fisker.
Cost $100,000? Fisker, yeah. I mean, what the hell? I mean, why are we building cars in Finland? What do you
we're
mean,
on terrestrial radio.
We can't. Don't cuss.
Yeah.
Don't cuss.
Can't say that
I'm sorry.
Radio.
I'm sorry.
We're not just on Blog Talk. We're on terrestrial radio also.
Oh my goodness.
We do both. We simulcast on both.
Well, I don't want you to lose your license. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I won't lose my license, but my mom will beat me when I get home. I'm not allowed to let you guys cuss on the radio.
But the deal is, the people that have the money to put in and wait us out and invest in, they want us to do all the research on taxpayer dollar so they can reap the rewards of having their own energy companies that produce the energies of tomorrow. But today we're suffering. I mean, I don't enjoy spending $4 a gallon on gas. Do you?
Oh, no. No, and it's going to get higher than that because President Obama said it was going to go higher than that.
And do you realize if it was compressed natural gas, it'd be less than 50 cents?
Yeah, it would. And you know another thing, not only do those companies want you to pay for their research, but they also want you to pay for their wars of aggression entering into other markets of the world.
So why is it that we are allowing this to happen? Remember, you know, Americans can change things if they choose to, so why won't they change them?
Tracy?
Yes,
I've been saying this for a while now. And you know, when I was mentioning earlier about, you know, the middle class, about the news media, I think nothing's going to change in our country until the middle class actually wakes up and says, that's it, we're not taking it anymore.
I think they're asleep.
I agree with you.
I think there's a bunch that are asleep, and I think there's a bunch that just went underground.
No, a lot of them are asleep.
There's a lot of people went underground, Tracy.
Underground where? Where can you go underground?
You drive past them every day, and you don't even know it.
No.
Yes, you do.
Listen.
They're driving cars running on natural gas, and they're eating groceries out of their basement, and they just decided we're not going to be part of the system no more.
Can I change the subject, guys? Will you guys get mad at me for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes if I change the subject?
No, go ahead.
Why did they kill Elmo at Christmas?
Who?
Elmo.
Elmo.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, that's sad.
I just
want to
know. I mean, they killed Petraeus, and now they killed Elmo. Why did they mess with Elmo?
Elmo's not dead.
They wounded Elmo. Elmo's in trouble. You can't
say
Elmo's sleeping with little kids and then change your mind.
Tracy, he recanted it. He lied. He was lying.
You missed the point. You can't come out and shoot a gun and then take the bullet and put it back in your pocket. You can't do it.
You cannot
come out and call Elmo a pedophile and then put your gun back in your pocket and think people are going to go buy the new toy for Christmas.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Cold.
That's cold.
Yeah, I got you. That's vicious.
Man, listen, I never put a face with Big Bird, and I never put a face with Elmo, and they better not mess with the Grinch. If they mess with the Grinch, I'm going to be really upset. I don't, you know, the hippopotamus, I don't know, Snuffleupagus, I've been watching them since I was a baby. I have never put a face with any of these people. Now I found out that Big Bird wants to be unemployed, and he's a billionaire. I found out that Elmo is a pedophile and was gay. Why?
Elmo's gay?
Well, I thought Elmo's gay. Pee Wee Herman.
And Pee Wee Herman, I didn't care less about Pee Wee Herman. He didn't bother me.
How come they don't put the drummer boy?
Elmo?
But how come they don't put the drummer boy on no more? Remember, we used to watch the drummer boy, too. No more drummer boy on network television.
It's on TV.
Not network
television. Yeah, it is. It'll be on in a minute. The drummer boy comes on.
I haven't seen him in years.
Yeah, he comes on. You just missed him. That's because we have too many channels.
I got him on DVD. I got him on DVD.
I'm skipping all over the place, but I'm answering people on Facebook. I have not left the election alone. The election's over. Why am I going to talk about it? I don't get it. I didn't lose. Y'all act like I lost. I didn't lose.
If President Obama does a good job, we all won. If he does a bad job, we all lost. We're Americans. We win and lose together.
You don't,
on that
there
job.
Is no separation. I mean, I don't win and we don't do that. I didn't lose. I went home election night and went to sleep like it was another night. Did y'all stay up all night long because your candidate lost? South Carolina, I know you did.
Yep.
Did you cry in your tears?
Did I cry?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you that. They'll take my card.
Come on now. But y'all can't pick with me. Y'all thought I was going to fight about the election. It's over.
No, I was surprised, Tracy. I thought you were going to come and, like, all a lot of conservatives and going berserk and think, the end of the world.
I think it's the end of the world, Stanley, but there's nothing I can do about it.
And I hate to say
we're not
going to
go and ride in the streets.
It's not the end of the world. It's not the end
Stanley,
of the world.
Stanley,
it's
the end of the world. I don't care who got in. That's not going to change the end. What I'm saying is I'm not going to stay up all night and worry about it.
That's right.
I'm more concerned about them. They messed up Elmo.
Because, and as far as I'm concerned, as soon as he got elected, I just went out and started making preparation to go into the bunker. That's all there is to it. I mean, you know, when you're paying $100,000 for a loaf of bread, have a nice life, you know.
That's why we call you Sticks.
That's right.
Because you ready.
But Six, if you're wrong, what are you going to say then?
You keep on living.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I prosper. And if I'm right, I really prosper.
And if
you're wrong, you're going to be stuck.
And this is not. I keep on telling you guys, politics is not a football game.
No.
I didn't lose. You know, I don't lose based on elections. That's not how this works. 261, your mic is on.
Hey, Crazy.
Uh-oh.
You didn't lose because when you were in that booth, you voted Democrat. And so did South Carolina. You ain't fooling nobody.
Oh, I promise
you. Must be out of your mind.
I promise you. I promise you President Obama didn't get my vote.
You voted Democrat.
I'm telling you.
They're like all Mitt Romney's buddies did when they went in that booth.
Listen.
Statistics prove that.
No, the statistics prove that in Cleveland he got 100%. In Youngstown, he did not get 100% in my precinct.
Tracy?
Yes, South Carolina. What's that?
When you have 1,000 votes, 100,000 registered individuals, and have 112,000 votes cast.
Easy.
Hey, Tracy.
It's called fuzzy number.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Paul.
You talking about Elmo? The minute them folks found out that Elmo's interpreter was black, the sales went down on that toy.
No. Color has nothing to do with this. You got to understand the greatness of the Muppets was that they were anatomically whatever.
They were asexual.
You never thought about the face of who the person was.
That's what I just said. They had no face.
It's not about being black or white. It was the face. You know, you can't. It's like the duck. It's like the Aflac duck. Who cares? But you cannot make Elmo gay and then make him a pedophile one day and change your mind by nighttime.
They know what they're doing, but Tracy.
And be a kid's toy.
Crazy.
I never let my children look at that, Tracy.
Why?
Because I wanted them to see real live human beings in the portrayal of families, not some animated characters of Mama Bear and Daddy Bear.
No, we're not talking about, and I'm not talking about three, we're not, no, no, no,
you,
we're not talking about Three Musketeers.
You
never
watched Sesame Street, Drake. You never watched Sesame Street.
Why not? I can sing the song.
I don't think there's no Grinch on Sesame Street.
Yes, there is. Oh, not the Grinch. The Grouch. Yeah, Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch. Oscar the Grouch.
I might have said the Grinch.
You did say the Grinch.
You said the Grinch. You did.
I said the Grinch.
You said the Grinch.
What do you want?
Tracy, we hang on every word that you say, baby. You know that.
Jeez, oh, man, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That's bad.
I'm following you, Tracy. I'm waiting for you to get that first $1 million. That's what I'm waiting for. It's coming, baby.
It's coming.
Because you stand alone. You're the only black person that stands alone in the Republican Party, and you understand. Believe me, your $1 million is coming. And Jeff don't even get out there, folks. Jeff's claim to claim is, I don't live in the city.
Well, I live in the city and happy about it.
That's right, baby. You're the only one. All the rest of them are silent.
I'm happy about it. I'm proud to be a Republican. I am.
I'm proud to say I know you.
I voted for Gary Johnson.
I know you did.
He just throw this vote away. Hey, right, have a good day.
Hey, love you, Paul.
Had voted for Obama, I would have threw my vote away also in Missouri. But I'm getting tired of these lies, Tracy. For honest, if you vote your interests, if you vote common sense, you just can't go with these two parties no longer. And look at, you're talking about Ryan, Paul Ryan, who's supposed to be sent there by the Tea Party. He don't act like a Tea Party to me.
He is a Tea Party.
He's been there a long time before the Tea Party started.
He's just a conservative. I mean, it is. I mean, Tea Party is not a part of the party. A Tea Party is just a bunch of folks that got together with a check with one
change. They got good ideas too.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, but honest, I think it's. I'm just tired of myself, and I couldn't go that way.
It's a sort of a public service announcement. Channel 212. If you got Dish Network this afternoon at 5 o'clock, there's going to be.
He ain't paying. He ain't paying for that.
There's a special about hyperinflation and a diary from Weimar. Should be good.
Fits.
I ain't saying who. I just said Channel 212.
I ain't saying who. See, y'all messed up Elmo. Come on, that's just messed up. They messed up Elmo.
I never let my kids watch Sesame Street either. And that's the reason.
He loves to sing la 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 la. Why?
Because it's ignorant.
How is it ignorant?
And we let our kids watch this and we wonder why they got brains full of mush.
Are you trying to say I have a... hold on. I got to stop. Wait a minute. Are you trying to say I have a brain full of mush? I watched Sesame Street.
I never did. I always thought it was foolishness.
Bert and Ernie? Gordon?
Big Bird?
Maybe that's what's
wrong.
Maybe that's what's wrong with me. Maybe that's why I'm cold and callous. I don't know.
You had the letters of the day?
The these
numbers
are the people in your
neighborhood. In your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, well, see, now.
I didn't have a neighborhood, all right? The nearest guy's a half a mile. The nearest neighbor's half a mile away.
How did you grow up without Sesame Street?
We watched.
And now we've got faces with Sesame Street, and the Sesame Street is now gay.
How did
you? But you didn't milk cows at 6 years old either, did you?
No. And
no,
as a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever milked a cow. And
I can fix that for you.
I know. Maybe I'll go out. I wouldn't mind.
You know,
I'll do it for a day.
The reason I vote for Gary Johnson because he reminded me of Rocky the Squirrel.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. That was one of my questions the other day on online. I got it wrong.
What's that? Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
See, that was they were
Morris and Natasha.
No, I watched it because you know we only had three channels, so you had to. It was selective TV.
Speed Racer.
Morris and Natasha was some propaganda.
Now I know. Back then I didn't, but now I understand the political ramifications of that.
I think Kat left. Kat, are you there still?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this.
Well,
I'm in Austin, Texas, the communist capital of America.
Absolutely not the communist capital of America, but you guys are talking about seceding, I understand.
I heard this morning Austin wants to secede from Texas.
It should.
If it does, you move into the rest of it? You move into the rest of Texas?
There's Texas and then there's Austin.
I can understand states feeling that way, being that they have to operate under a balanced budget.
And the federal government doesn't?
No.
I know. So why do we allow that? I don't understand.
Well, it's in our Constitution that, and plus our legislature only meets every 2 years. So it's pretty good.
What? Something's wrong with that.
I think I like
why?
That. If they're not there, they can't screw anything up.
Yes, they can.
No.
They only meet every 2 years?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am. We want to keep them out of, because we have good state agencies down here that run everything.
Well, listen, guys, can't call back in. I'd enjoy talking to you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about some comments that Cornel West made, he and Travis Crowley, about
Cornel.
The president. What'd you say, Kat?
I love that poverty. I just love it.
So we're going to talk about it tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about poverty. We're going to talk about unemployment. We're going to talk about Rockefeller Republicans. So we'll see you again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day, and don't dog out Elmo for Christmas.
La, 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 la.
See you later. Thanks, Chick.
La 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 la. Big Bird song. La la la.
I'm so excited.